Just wait.
So I know that there are people who think like, oh, you know, do this and, you know, that I'm going to be locked up or whatever. I ain't worried about that. You heard the truth and the truth shall make you free. I ain't even worried about that. Like, not.
Did some reconnaissance on the ground, speaking to an organization there that's gearing up to for resistance and protest. I've been surprised, pleasantly surprised, to see the community coming together. We're like, wait a minute, which operation are we at? And as it turns out, because we're like, well, this is kind of MAGA coded, right? So the American flag or whatever, but these are resistance protesters. They're planning an operation that we're going to follow them on. I can't tell you exactly what they're doing, but it's called Operation Pull Up.
The FACE Act is constitutional and properly applied. In this case, it certainly is, because Lemon and the Black Lives Matter crew said they were there to make them uncomfortable and shut them down and basically bully them into their political form of thinking. When you do that, you are engage in a conspiracy against someone's rights.
The president just arrested two journalists. Now I think that he's almost in double down mode. I thought he was in de-escalate mode. Now he's having journalists arrested.
Well, he arrested journalists for committing crimes and then filming themselves committing crimes and then talking and admitting on camera to committing those crimes. So, you know, just because you say you're a journalist doesn't mean he violated the FACE Act in 18 U.S. Code Section 241, among others.
The Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, FACE Act, makes it unlawful to use force, threats of force, or physical obstruction to intentionally injure, intimidate, or interfere with anyone exercising their religious beliefs at a house of worship. This law protects all faith communities equally, churches, synagogues, mosques, temples, and others.
How did they use force or intimidation? Fundamental part of the mens rea of that statute. How?
Quote, "Your parents are Nazis," end quote, was yelled directly in the faces of children while accusing parents of being Nazis who would burn in hell. Quote, "This ain't God's house, this is the house of the devil," end quote, was shouted by protester William Kelly. Accusations that the church was, quote, harboring killers, end quote, directed at the congregation. In the chaos, some protesters reportedly shouted, quote, "shoot," end quote, amid fears of guns, contributing to panic that felt like a, quote, "mass shooting," end quote, to one victim as stairs were blocked to prevent parents from reaching Sunday school children.
Don Lemon said on camera that the purpose of the event that he was actively participating in was to traumatize people. And he said that is good. That is what that is for.
Watch this guy here. Look, he's hugging his kid. And, you know, I just imagine it's uncomfortable and traumatic for the people here, but that's what protesting is about. And so
you heard what some of the folks said in there, you know, that this is, they shouldn't be there and, you know, they shouldn't be uncomfortable and this is our house and whatever. That's what protesting is about, is to make people uncomfortable. You may not like it.
He said he knew a secret. He knew about what they were doing in advance. He wouldn't say it on camera.
Yeah,
he served coffee to his fellow activists in there. He violated the FACE Act. He conspired against my
friends.
Very important point. You cannot claim First Amendment protections while you actively violate the First Amendment rights of others.
The FBI and Bloomfield police arrested Nicholas Melendretos yesterday. The U.S. Attorney's Office says he is the man seen on this surveillance video hurling the device at the main entrance of Temple near Tamid early Sunday morning. Luckily, it did not cause any major damage, but if convicted, he's facing a maximum of 20 years in prison and a $250,000 fine.
Federal prosecutors say he shared a manifesto containing threats to attack a synagogue and Jewish people. Titled When Swords Collide, part of it reads, "I am the attacker and I would like to introduce myself. I am Muslim with so many regrets, but I can assure you this attack is not one of them."
Violence and intimidation directed at synagogues and other houses of worship are not only attacks on individuals. They are attacks on an entire faith community. And they intimidate and deter people from exercising their protected First Amendment rights. Houses of worship in America must remain sanctuaries of peace, not places of fear. The Civil Rights Division has a duty to protect every community's right to gather and worship without harassment, threats, or violence.
He also, a few days ago, did an interview, and we'll show that clip in a moment, where he said, oh, these are white supremacists. In fact, Christian churches in general are white supremacists because only they have rights, only whites have rights.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
One of the weirder things about these files is there's some stuff in there that you go, okay. One thing that we know happens is when something is true, a bunch of stuff gets attached to it that's both not true and also preposterous that allows you to sort of dismiss all of it together. Yeah. There's a lot of people thought about that with Pizzagate. And there's some stuff that I saw online that was like George W. Bush was like involved in ritual sacrifice or things along those lines, like killing babies and eating people and wild shit.
Yeah.
What do you think that stuff is?
I don't know. I don't.
Do you think it really occurs?
What I'll say is this is a bad week to be a total Pizzagate denialist. You would feel a lot more comfortable about it a week ago than you would this week. I don't particularly focus or I don't want to say care. I don't, my knowledge set on it is a lot more limited on it because I don't think it's a central crux of political influence. I don't know if it's kind of almost a inside joke in a certain way. Jeffrey Epstein himself in these emails is unbelievably trolly. You know, he'll say things that are the kind of, you know, posts you say to a buddy or your brother or something that you don't mean.
Right.
It's tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
But if you were a cynical, out-to-get-you person who somehow obtained that text message, you'd say, oh, look, he said it. And so there's a lot of that going on. But the fact is I've seen a lot of images shared around the time period of when Pizzagate was popping off in 2016 that all I'll say is it doesn't look good or easily explainable. At the same time, a lot of those screenshots I have not, for most of these, for the things I've posted about or that I'm talking about here, I've gone to the Justice Department file. I've looked at the file number. I've confirmed whether or not the screenshot is actually what it is. For those, I have not yet, but I wouldn't feel totally confident saying there's no there there. But that's about as far as I can go on that.
When you say images, what are you talking about?
Well, there's a lot of, if you look up pizza, for example, it's just as a keyword search, you'll see, or cheese or something. It looks like, in the DOJ database for these new files, you'll see a lot of things of people talking about pizza in a way that
it seems like a code.
It's kind of impossible to
imagine it's actually just
pizza.
Okay.
So obviously, folks, we got a lot to talk about today. Sorry about that. That's dropping behind me. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. A lot going on over here, as you guys just heard. A little clip of Mike Benz, joining Joe Rogan. You guys know we love Mike Benz on this show, dearly. So that was definitely exciting to see. But most importantly, folks, he is going through the Epstein files, the latest release, and trying to figure out all of those details. Now, interesting enough, folks, President Trump was asked in clip one, we're going to listen to about this, because as many of you guys know, the Epstein files have obviously been very enlightening a little bit. Not too much, though. Most of us have known the information that's out there. We're just getting more of a more evidence to prove that what we've always known to be true is true. But we're also learning a lot more. And the problem is President Trump continues to handle this the wrong way, It's really frustrating because the president continues to jump out there and make comments in regards to the Clintons. Now, the Clintons, as many of you guys know, we talked about this yesterday. The Clintons, interesting enough, were, obviously, they were subpoenaed to Congress, but now they've agreed to testify and to speak. Now, unfortunately, it's going to be a closed-door meeting. It will be filmed, though, but I still don't like that. There's no reason to do that because they could turn off the camera whenever they want. But the reality of it is President Trump made a really wild statement yesterday. As you just heard Mike Benz detail there, there's a lot of truth here, a lot of, and we're going to play another clip for him sifting through the false information that's been pushed out there. But President Trump is backing the Clintons, and it's bizarre. It truly is bizarre. In clip one, take a listen.
Today we heard that the Clintons set deposition dates to testify before the House Oversight Committee. Any reaction to that related to the Epstein
question? I think it's a shame, to be honest. I always liked him. Her? Yeah. Well, she's a very capable woman. She was better in debating than some of the other people, I will tell you that. She was smarter, smart woman. I hate to see it in many ways. I hate to see it. But, you know, then I look at me. They went after me like, you know, they wanted me to go to jail for the rest of my life. Then it turned out I was innocent, very innocent.
Does anyone know what he's actually saying? Because I truly don't understand where he's going with this. That is extremely, extremely bizarre. The bizarre response. Why is he defending Hillary Clinton? Does anyone know? I'm tired of this. There's some reason why the president right now feels like he has to go out there and defend the Clintons. This is the guy who literally chanted to lock her up, and now he's defending her. There's obviously been something that's happened behind closed doors the rest of us are not aware of, and it is deeply, deeply concerning to come out there and to defend them. It is bizarre. Is very bizarre. You can't defend these people. You just can't. You can't sit there and pretend like there's some line of reason. I mean, it just made it seem like Hillary Clinton is actually a decent person. And Bill Clinton was hanging out with Epstein for quite some time. So the illusion that he's trying to create, like these two are good people, is quite bizarre. And it's infuriating. Like he's trying to gaslight the American people at this point. I don't know what else to say here on this front. President Trump has been really disappointing over these last few months, making claims and trying to defend the Clintons. How can any person who is a Trump supporter actually support this? The Clintons are evil people, evil people. I couldn't even think of one positive thing if I had to about Hillary. And to sit here and pretend like there's some glimpse of hope that this is actually a decent human being. She's a good debater. She's actually smart. No. Something strange is happening. Something very, very strange is happening. Melinda Gates is actually talking, too, about what was found in the Epstein files. Many of you guys know there's an email that was sent by Jeffrey Epstein, and it alleges that Bill Gates, her ex-husband, caught an STD from a Russian girl. Now, again, we don't know if this is a girl who's underage, of age. We have no idea who this girl is. But we just hear that that there might have possibly been an STD that Bill Gates received from hanging out with this girl. Now, in the email, they also talk about trying to figure out how to get Melinda some drugs. I guess they're trying to make sure she doesn't find out about it. Now, obviously, the two are divorced now. And in clip two, Melinda Gates reacts to the latest news about her husband possibly having an STD. Take a listen.
The emails in the files suggest that Bill Gates had additional affairs and that he tried to get medication to treat a sexually transmitted infection and that he was going to give you the medicine without you knowing. His representative has said all of this is false. It is not on you to have to respond to the details of that alleged behavior, but I wonder what your dominant emotion is when you read these news articles with these details.
Sad. Just unbelievable sadness. Unbelievable sadness, right? And again, I'm able to take my own sadness and look at those young girls and say, my God, how did that happen to those girls, right? And so for me, it's just sadness for, you know, I left my marriage. I had to leave my marriage. I wanted to leave my marriage. I had to leave I felt I needed to eventually leave the foundation. So it's just sad. That's the truth, right? And it's kind of like, at least for me, I've been able to move on in life.
Really devastating when you think about it. I mean, let's just say, well, that wouldn't even happen to us, but it is devastating news, and I understand why she is upset about it. Folks, why don't we have Melinda Gates testifying right now? Why isn't she being pulled in front of a congressional hearing? She clearly knows a lot. She's telling you this is the reason why she had to leave her marriage. Get some more detail. She probably knows things. Now, I'm sure we'll find out that part of the divorce agreement, though, she had to zip up, not say anything. But get her in front of Congress and have her say that to you. This woman knows a lot. Folks, looks like Tom Homan is speaking right now in Minneapolis. I wanted to make sure we brought that to you because he's obviously the border czar, but he's got the situation in Minneapolis under control right now is what we're hoping is going to say. Let's take a listen.
I'm Tom Homan. I'm the border czar of President Trump. I'm here with Sam Olson, Field Office Director for the St. Paul office, and Ron Patello, Senior Advisor to the Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, Border Patrol. Us three guys got just shy of 100 years in law enforcement, immigration enforcement. I worked with Ron 30 years ago in Dallas, Texas. He's been with the Border Patrol's entire career. During my press conference last week, I reported I had productive discussions with various state and local officials, including Governor, Attorney General Mayor Fry, and law enforcement officials about increasing coordination in a lawful way between the county jails and ICE to avoid public safety threats being released back in the community. While we had our differences, one thing was clear. We all committed to public safety for all who live in the Twin Cities. We have made significant progress under the direction of President Trump, working with state and local officials here in Minnesota, and I expect that to increase in the coming weeks. We continue to have discussions. I'll have discussions this afternoon. We currently have an unprecedented number of counties communicating with us now and allowing ICE to take custody of illegal aliens before they hit the streets. Unprecedented cooperation. Now, I'll say it again. This is efficient, requires only one or two officers to assume custody of a criminal alien target rather than 8 or 10 officers going into the community and arresting that public safety threat. This frees up more officers to arrest or remove criminal aliens. More officers taking custody of criminal aliens directly from the jails means less officers on the street doing criminal operations. This is smart law enforcement, not less law enforcement. It's safer for the community, safer for the officers, and safer for the alien. This coordination also makes it far more safe for the Twin Cities. Arresting a public safety threat in the safety and security of a jail is the safest thing we could do. Further, less public safety risks are being released back into the communities, reduces recidivism, so local law enforcement can direct their limited resources to other public safety matters in their community. This is another priority of President Trump. The state prisons already cooperate with ICE on this coordinated transfer of custody, and we thank them for that partnership, and we plan to do more with them. I also want to reiterate and emphasize we are not requiring jails to hold people past their normal release time for immigration purposes. We're not asking anyone to be an immigration officer. We are not asking any state or local official to do immigration enforcement activity. They are not. By merely notifying us before they release them, they don't hold them 1 minute past they normally would. Given this increase in unprecedented collaboration, and as a result of the need for less law enforcement officers to do this work in a safer environment, I have announced effective immediately we will draw down 700 people effective today, 700 law enforcement personnel. We have also fully integrated CBP personnel into the ICRO team structure under one unified chain of command. Not two chains of command. There'd be one chain of command here. Any large enforcement operation I've ever been involved with, there's one chain of command, and that's where we're moving forward. During my press conference last week, I announced that moving forward, ICE will be conducting targeted immigration enforcement operations, like ICE has traditionally done for decades, based on reasonable suspicion to question and detain. ICE will conduct these operations and transnational criminal organization investigations with a focus on national security and public safety. I want to be clear. Just because you prioritize public safety threats don't mean we forget about everybody else. We will continue to enforce the immigration laws in this country. To help execute this, we have developed and implemented a multi-agency surge task force with an operational framework that clarifies lines of effort, integrated enforcement, investigative and special response efforts. A unified joint operations center has been established to manage all operations and ensure efforts align with priorities of the mission. This reorganization also enables ICE to leverage joint intelligence capabilities to effectively target threats, as well as to reduce the overall personnel footprint and enhance public safety and confidence in the agency's capabilities and presence here. I've also ensured that officials from legal internal affairs offices remain on the ground as long as this operation continues. During our efforts to identify and implement improvements of how operations are planned, conducted, and managed, we identified a gap in regard to the use of body-worn cameras. This was actually raised by the workforce when I started walking around talking to people here. Some officers and agents had them, some didn't. That inconsistency was unacceptable, so we moved immediately to prioritize full body cam deployment in the city. I discussed this with Secretary Noem a couple of days ago, and she made the decision to deploy them. The plan is to deploy them nationwide, but it's a priority for the city right now. There's actually $20 million in the spending bill to further fund the deployment of body cameras. The president is supportive of this decision because we have nothing to hide. We want to be fully transparent in what we do. The American people seek and deserve professional and trustworthy law enforcement, and I and the president expect that any misconduct would not be tolerated and be swiftly addressed. The integration, structuring, and resources we have implemented would help ensure accountability and that targeted enforcement operations have a focus on national security threats and public safety threats, and they are conducted effectively, safely, and appropriately. Again, this is smarter enforcement, not less. For those who are not a national security threat or public safety risk, you are not exempt from immigration enforcement actions. If you're
all
in the country
step in
legally,
on this because Tom Homan breaking news ultimately saying that they're going to be reducing federal personnel who are there present in Minnesota. They're reducing it by at least 700, he said. He's claiming that's due to the fact that local law enforcement will now be working with the federal agencies, and so there's no need for those extra hands on deck. He also is discussing the body cam issue because apparently there were some DHS agents who do have them, some who don't. And now they are pushing to make sure that everyone does have body cams. And that's an interesting, very interesting take to this. I know the president was asked about it yesterday as well. I believe I might have had the clip somewhere, but I'll have to dig for that. But the president was also asked about the lack of federal clip 15. Okay, so yesterday there was a meeting with the president. He was in front of the media and somebody did actually ask him about the DHS body cams. And so in clip 15, this was his response. Take a listen.
And Kristi Noem just announced that you're deploying body cameras to Minneapolis. What's your thinking behind this decision, and do you want to see this?
Well, it wasn't my decision. I would have, you know, I leave it to her. They generally tend to be good for law enforcement because people can't lie about what's happening. So it's, generally speaking, I think 80% good for law enforcement. But if she wants to do that, I'm okay with it. Remember one thing. We closed the border. I got elected on a disastrous border. And we have nobody coming in through our border anymore. We had 25 million people come in 4 years through our border. Many of them were murderers and drug dealers and mentally insane from mental institutions and insane asylums. And now we don't have anybody coming in. For 9 months now, I mean, they actually report zero. We have zero people coming in, which I find hard to believe, but the Democrats do that report. They tend to be left-leaning that do that report. So I assume it's true. If it's not, it's a very tiny amount of people. But we basically have a tremendously perfect, strong border. And also, crime levels are at the lowest point they've been in 125 years. Since 1900, we have the best numbers. And that's despite the fact that we had a lot of criminals and murderers. 11,888 murderers came in. And we have the lowest numbers that we've had in 125 years. So, you know, so we're doing a good job. If she wants to do the camera thing, that's okay with me.
So obviously that's quite interesting. Folks, obviously body cam footage and the videos itself have done more to protect law enforcement because we all know that a lot of these criminals, surprise, surprise, have a habit of lying. And so when you do have your body cams going, it does offer you some insurance that your side, your perspective will be heard. Most of the time, and that's most of the time, these officers, when they do turn over their footage, it usually does indicate that they were abiding by their personal internal policies and obviously the law. So this is a good thing. And this is why, keep in mind, folks, when you saw that footage that took a little couple of days, I guess I should say, to be released, this footage here, this comes from an ICE officer who's recording on his phone. So he had to hop out of his car and start recording on his phone, probably didn't have body cam. And it's kind of crazy to think that they don't have body cam, considering the fact that they have a massive federal budget. It's also crazy to think that the FBI agents don't do that either. They don't have body cams. We just allow them to go into people's homes, and we hope for the best. They're not corrupt and evil and going to plant things on people, you know. I would probably beg to differ on that one. But I think any law enforcement agency that's interacting with the public needs body cams. And this push needs to be done. It needs to be carried out through the FBI and other agencies as well. All right, folks, buckle up. We got a lot more to discuss. Matt Tardio will be joining the show, as well as Jorge Ventura, Billboard Chris, Ken Silva, and Logan Washburn with an exclusive story. So we've got a lot happening over here. And that's just a quick rundown of everything. But Jorge Ventura will be joining us in just a moment. Jorge was assaulted by a group of left-wing terrorists, and that was obviously Minnesota, Minneapolis specifically. He'll be joining us to give us the very latest on that, so don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more to discuss in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over. If you're going to go anywhere, go here, thealexjonesstore.com. We have a bunch of discounts that are rotating, and so it's our rolling sale. You got to check it out. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Take a look at the supplements. There are so many different options there, and the discounts are changing. Things that are on sale right now include Ultimate Burn, the Colostrum, which I know everyone loves so much, the Sea Moss gummies as well, your favorite t-shirts, hats, and hoodies, as well as Methylene Blue. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and take a look around. And we just launched those new hydration pouches.
Ladies and gentlemen, Methylene Blue is incredible, and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, Ultramethylene Blue, at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that Methylene Blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
week. My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked, showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here. We have a great lineup of guests, five guests actually today. So we've got a lot of independent journalists coming on to tell us what they've been working on. But before we get to that, I wanted to dive into this. The FBI director, Kash Patel, made an appearance yesterday on Fox News, and it was quite the enlightening discussion. In clip three, you're going to listen to the FBI director specifically talk about the mystery that is the Butler shooting, and he's going to claim something that I will dispute in regards to transparency. Take a listen.
Provide support.
All right, well, let me take you to a different shooter, and that is the Butler shooter. I asked you about this at Quantico. Take a listen. Will we know a lot more about him? Is there more to know?
I don't know that there's more to know, but you're going to know everything we know. And we don't feel that the American people have been given the information they need on that. And we're digging through the files, and we're getting them a more robust picture of what happened.
So that was May 2025. I mean, I don't think we, the public, have a more robust picture of that shooter.
Well, I think that's an unfair supposition. We, the FBI, have put out all the information that we possibly and legally can while protecting any ongoing matters that are unrelated.
But he's dead.
Well, yes, he's very much dead. But at the same time, Brett, we at the FBI have to follow the parameters of our investigation and what the law allows us to release.
I get it, but, you know, what were the cell phones? Why don't we know who he was talking to? You know, what exactly happened? I feel like we haven't gotten the whole picture about Butler even now.
But here's the thing, Brett. We can provide, and just an example here, we've provided 40,000 pages of documents to Congress. That's a 400% increase from the prior two directors. We will continue to provide this information with our partners on Capitol Hill when we are legally able. It's never going to be enough for everyone. It's never going to be enough. But what we are saying is we're not saying trust us. We're saying we did an exhaustive search of that. We presented that information to the Department of Justice, and a decision was made on what to release.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, you said we put out everything we could. Do you think that everything's been put out about Eric Crump's, the shooter, alleged shooter?
Whether it's Epstein or Charlie Kirk or whether it's this shooter in Butler, we always put out what the law permits us to put out.
It's such a frustrating response, right? Because as someone who was one of the three journalists who were handed the document that detailed specifically the social media accounts that were being ran and operated allegedly by Thomas Crooks, We released it. Tucker Carlson, Miranda Devine, and myself. We released it. And we reached out to the FBI. I couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that they wouldn't tell us any of this. We reached out. You guys heard Tucker reached out, got a BS response. I reached out, ghosts, crickets. And we only forced their hand because the three of us, publicly released the information behind it. And in order to defend themselves, they went out and said, okay, yeah, some of that's real, but some of it you're misunderstanding. In fact, they called it false media reporting, from my understanding. So there's no legal, and this is the problem because this is the follow-up, what it should be. Well, can you specifically cite what would be holding you up from releasing critical pieces of information to the American people? What law are you citing? Because you're saying legally. So what are you citing specifically? We need a real breakdown because the American people aren't stupid. We're tired of hearing these responses from these officials. We want to tell you, but we can't. We just can't. We want to hear why, specifically why. Cite the law that is for blocking you, we'll just say, from being able to share this information with the American people. There was no reason to not tell the American people about his social media accounts. No reason. The FBI went with one narrative. They said he was a Trump supporter, and they ran with that. They refused to tell you, though, about what happened in his past and how he was a far lefty. But then suddenly and strangely ended up shifting over a little bit. That was after the pandemic. His political views did change. None of it seems to make sense, and there's no reason why they can't talk to us about who was he speaking to. Now, again, there might be ongoing investigations into the people he might have been speaking to. But folks, it's been a very long time. The American people need to hear more. We need to learn more. It's frustrating that that's the response. And again, I understand he cannot divulge certain pieces of information, especially if those people who he was in communications with are currently under investigation. But why not just say that? Because anyone who was talking to Thomas Crooks knows that they're being looked at by the federal government. It's just so frustrating on how they operate this way. Then they tell you that they're the most transparent administration ever, or we're all about transparency. I don't see the transparency. You know, members of the media reach out to you for comment before running a story, and you refuse to respond, but then get angry when we put it out there for the public to see, and you call it false. You're the problem. You're the person who is creating intentionally confusion and chaos. There's no other way to look at this. We've opened up the avenues of communication. I've reached out several times. I've actually just stopped because, for the most part, you don't really get anything back from them. I think if I reach out 10 times, I might get a response once. And yeah, there are a lot of internal issues, I'm sure, yes. But to beef up your communications department probably should be a top priority. And also the issue here is that they only do sit-down interviews with people who are cushy. People don't ask tough questions. Brett Baer did a fair job there. I'll give him that. But what is he specifically hiding under what law? He continues to say that legally he can only give a certain thing. Give us some information on that. Help us understand. Because I'm not an attorney. I'm a journalist. I'm a political commentator. So I don't know what law you're citing. So give us some specifics. It's not fair to sit here and pretend like And this is the theme we see with these officials now. Oh, just trust us because I had a podcast or I used to be on your side before. Or just trust me. Whatever I say, just trust it. No, we want more. We want proof. We want to see things for ourselves. The FBI director thinks that there's a legal reason why he cannot give us more information on Thomas Crooks. Tell us what that legal reason is. Tell us. I would love to know. I would love to know. Because if there's anything that the American people could then do is maybe start calling on their lawmakers to start changing these laws. Changing these laws. To sit here and just pretend like, come on, guys, you can't ask these questions. Is absurd. Speaking of that, I want to bring things back up to Minneapolis, because many of you guys know there's a group of far left-wing terrorists taking over. And sadly, local PD looks like isn't really doing much in that sense. Now, we just listed in on Tom Homan, who is there right now. He's in Minnesota right now, and he announced that 700 federal personnel are going to be leaving the area. That's big news. And I know for a lot of Trump supporters, they probably think that's a sign of possibly Tom Homan and the administration surrendering to the far left-wing terrorists. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, you know, Jorge Ventura has been on the ground, and Ventura's been digging into a lot of the stuff that you see going on right now in Minneapolis. But he's pretty down the middle on most of these things. He, in fact, in case you were unfamiliar with him prior, let me just give you a little background. I mean, during the BLM riots, he was an independent journalist going out there, Daily Caller, and he was filming what was happening. Then he ventured off to News Nation and was working there. And News Nation, I'd say, is pretty down the middle of most stuff. And now he's back in the independent world. And it's interesting. The reason why I want to keep driving that point home is, you know, Jorge's out in these streets right now trying to get some answers and do some digging into what they're actually doing on the ground. And regardless of the fact that he's not what they would probably consider to be a far right winger, they are going after him and they don't want him there. In clip 12, you're going to see exactly what unfolded when Jorge was just simply doing his job as an independent journalist. Take a listen.
Oh, look, they said that these cars actually look like ice, and they're actually following them. So we're actually seeing this in real time?
Hey, how you doing, man? You're right next to me. I can film here, buddy. It's a public sidewalk.
So it seems like they're turning around a vehicle. I got one guy following me.
Why did you try to steal my phone right now?
You guys gotta get out of here, man.
Why'd you try to steal my phone right now, man? And they're harassing our Uber driver. Here, let's just get out of here.
I'm saying, get out of here. Go away. You guys
gotta
get out there.
Why'd you try to steal my phone right now, man?
Go. Get out of here. Go.
And they're harassing our Uber driver.
Go.
Here, let's just get out of here. Oh, no, he's pushing me, man. Let him go to me.
Get out of here.
So they're assaulting me and my photojournalist.
All right, so folks, obviously they're not the friendliest. Joining us now to discuss is Jorge himself. And Jorge, you know, I appreciate you jumping on with us. I know it's pretty early in the morning for you, so thank you for being here. All right, so they're not very friendly in Minneapolis, and they're not very welcoming. And I'm explaining to the audience that I consider you to be pretty down the middle. I mean, you're not like me, right? I'm like far right, off the political spectrum at this point. But you're pretty fair down the middle, but they seem to not want you there. So what was going on?
Yeah, Raina. So what caught my attention there, it was in South Minneapolis. This is what was called as a filter blockade. And this was essentially the very first one where they built this, essentially the makeshift checkpoint. This is on 32nd and Cedar Avenue. They're literally in the middle of the intersection with all types of debris, wooden pallets, you know, dumpsters. But they do have a legit, in a way, makeshift checkpoint. They were stopping every single vehicle that crosses that intersection. They're asking people for their ID. And I was actually surprised when I arrived at this intersection that people were actually giving their IDs. These individuals look very frightened. You can see they're all masked up, wrapped up. All of their like clothing that never has any logos. They have the walkie talkies, a lot of the license plates. They were actually running the license plates. into a database. This is according to their language. And then they were checking if they were ICE agents. And they were running all the license plates of cars that were out of town. So we were just literally there for like 5 minutes. Wanted to capture just a couple images, a couple of photos, because it kind of looked absurd, looked like something out of a movie. And that's when they approached me. I talked to them. You know, Brian, I'm one of the nicest guys. I also like,
I know.
I'm very non, I don't try to get these guys with gotcha questions. If anything, I ask super easy questions. I just want to get how they think. And I just show the American people that that's a great shot. Yeah. This is exactly what kind of, if you were driving, this is exactly what you're looking at. They'll literally stop the vehicle, harass you, question you, take pictures of your license plate. And then they're repeating it to some walkie talkie. So, they got angry. They obviously, you guys saw in the video, they attacked myself. They attacked photojournalist I was with, Photo Herrera. But I think what really set things off was a few of them approached our Uber driver, who is a Somalian Uber driver. You know, he has no idea what's going on. And they're running his license plate, and they're accusing this, like, Somalian guy to be an ICE agent. And at that moment, really, I think, kind of just made them angry, because that's the moment I'm following him with the camera. And they're telling my Somalian Uber driver that he's an ICE agent. So it kind of set it off, but I'm kind of, you know, Brandon, I'm kind of glad this moment happened, because the video spread like wildfire, and it just put attention to kind of the madness of Minneapolis, and also how like local law enforcement, you know, this blockade was up for already more than 24 hours, and like they didn't respond, they didn't come in, dismantle it. But this video finally put that pressure on local PD a little bit.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, it's so crazy to me that they have the guts to go around and ask these questions and grill people. I mean, your poor Somalian Uber driver, who's probably just minding his own business, not doing a damn thing. And they're grilling him, and people don't realize, I mean, you don't have to talk to them. I mean, these are, and the problem is their faces are covered, and so you're not going to really know who these people are, and they know what they're doing. I mean, the fact that this guy, this is like the Karens of all Karens, has the guts to go up to an Uber driver to ask him who he is and grill him. If it was a federal agent would never let him get that close to their car. So these people are not very intelligent. At least this guy was a little nice to you, that we played this clip yesterday on the show of you grilling this guy and trying to grill him a little bit. But I want to get to the license plate angle from all of this, because obviously they're running the plates. How are they able to do so? Are one of them possibly a PI, so they have access to different servers that they could use, or is local PD allowing them to utilize their database?
You know, that's something we're trying to find out more information on, because we keep hearing about this database, and they kept, like I said, they had all these walkie-talkies, so they keep repeating the license plate numbers, and then they would say, okay, this license plate's clear, this one's not. And also, like, in the start of that video, Brandon, if you notice, they were actually turning around vehicles, so that's where I started to really film, because they were actually turning around these SUVs. Now, I don't know if they were federal agents, but their windows were tinted. It's possible that they were. But the reason these individuals also act like this is they've also just been emboldened by like local politicians and their language. Like when you're down there and you're talking to, I mean, you guess you could call this a foot soldier, whatever. Like they do believe like they're fighting an ICE or a Gestapo. And these folks literally have, they're operating like in a world with no consequences. If anything, like they're showing the greatest kind of display of white privilege, if there is that, to just be like, stopping people, having faces covered, knowing that local law enforcement isn't coming in. But this database system, I think, really needs to be highlighted, that these local individuals could do that. And if I could just add really quick, Brandon, because this is kind of important to the story. Literally an hour after this interaction, I had an exclusive ride along with ICE in Minneapolis. So then we go embedded. I'm with these agents who were supposed to make what they call a targeted arrest. So they've already been watching this individual. He is a criminal, illegal alien. And they're going to move in and make an arrest. As I'm embedded on this operation, those agents had to call off that arrest because those activists tracked down the movements of their license plates, blasted out their location, and then the agents essentially told me, they said, hey, man, if we try to move in and make this arrest, these activists are going to impede the operation, blow the spot up, and likely this criminal legal alien will probably likely leave the state if he knows that we're targeting him. So, like, I just want to, the reason I'm saying this, I want the audience to know that these activists, while sometimes we see them on the ground and some of the videos are funny, right? They're blowing funny whistles and stuff like that. Like they're actually having real impact on real operations, on real criminal illegal aliens being like, they're not able to make in, not moving to make these arrests because these activists are actually having a real impact on their operations and giving out their location. So just want to put that out there that literally an hour after we were, you know, assaulted, harassed, went on an embed. And these guys couldn't arrest a criminal illegal alien because they were being doxxed and followed by several activists.
Yeah, well, that's the problem here. And I want to get your reaction because we played the press conference that Tom Homan, the border czar, just had in Minneapolis. He's saying that local law enforcement is going to begin working with the feds. And so there's now a plan to reduce the amount of federal agents in the area. We're hearing that what he said was that they're going to be drawing back about 700 individuals. Now, again, that could be personnel mixed with a little bit of agents. We don't have the actual breakdown of what that equals. But, I mean, what you just saw tells me that things are still kind of heated there, and that the current group of ICE agents that are there and present there are unable to carry out their tasks. So do you think that the best move the administration should be making based on what you've seen so far on the ground is pulling federal agents out of the area?
Personally, I absolutely not. I was at Tom Homan's first press conference when he got to Minneapolis, and he first mentioned his draw back plan or draw down plan. I thought this would at least take a while. It shouldn't be as quick. The big thing that I kind of still see on the ground is that these federal agents, their operations are still being impeded, and local law enforcement isn't even responding to the calls. The agents that I was with, like, literally 2 days ago, they didn't even, like, bother to call local law enforcement because they knew they were never going to show up and, like, at least help block the activist form impeding the operation. You know, these agents are very straight up. They literally don't care if you protest. You can film them all you want. But it's really getting to the point where they're impeding. So I think this is going to really start to hurt operations. But, you know, at the end of the day, local law enforcement already doesn't respond. The other thing that this will do, I think, Brandon, is once this news hits the ground, you know, in Minneapolis with the protesters, this gives them a huge morale boost and keeps that energy going. And they got that morale boost also last week when Bovino got that whole order to kind of be relieved from Minneapolis. So this is going to be, in the eyes of the activists, protesters, the rioters, this is going to be viewed as a major victory on their side.
Yeah, and that's the part that's really concerning here. And Bovino was a massive blow, I think, to this administration's credibility when they pulled him out of there. I don't think that was fair. And I think it feeds into these left-wing terrorists, unfortunately. So we'll continue to follow that as it develops. But, you know, there have been some really good moves that have been made. William Kelly is one of the individuals who was just recently arrested under the FACE Act for protesting inside of that Minneapolis church on a Sunday morning and interrupting worship services. Now, the interesting part here is William Kelly is still back out after obviously being released. He's now out. And you actually got the opportunity to catch up with Mr. William Kelly. Take a listen to clip 13.
William, how does it feel to be released? Are you still being charged? What's an update?
Right now, they're pursuing FACE Act charges against me, so I'm facing 10 years in federal prison.
For storming the church.
We did not storm. We were invited in, but we did raise our voices and preach the word of God.
What's your reaction on Don Lemon's arrest?
I think it's absurd. He wasn't there as a protester. He was there as a journalist. This is a violation of the First Amendment. This is treason. This is Donald Trump and Kristi Noem using the government as a political tool to harm their opponents.
When's your next court appearance?
I'm not sure at this point.
If you just had a direct message for the president, what would it be?
I would tell him to stop this madness. Stop occupying our cities with your fucking armies. Leave the people alone. Remember the Constitution. And you know what? Stop raping little girls, you fucking pedophile. All power
to
the people.
So we'll jump in on that one. Because obviously this is someone who is not mentally well. And he's making accusations that have never been proven. They're false, obviously. But, you know, Jorge, I want to jump in on this. Because clearly, and this is why I wanted to play the thing entirely. Because people, I mean, we get it that these people aren't mentally well, and that's probably the reason why they're inspired to go out there and do these things. They've been lied to by the media. They don't actually know the facts of their arguments. But William Kelly seems to be a very passionate man about the subject matter. What was your interaction, besides, you know, that clip, what was your interaction like with him? How is he when he's out there protesting?
Yeah, you know, I was kind of shocked that I was actually literally just taking like a shot of the crowd, and I just see William with like the American flag. And obviously I come up to him, just wanted to get a kind of quick reaction. And I was just even shocked just to see him out there. He's a very, very unhinged, chaotic individual. I will say this though, Brandon, this is probably like the most, maybe not alarming thing, but people now gravitate this guy like he is like their like hero. The amount of people that like walk up to William and wanted his autograph picture, you keep hearing that slogan, that power to the people. So they kind of view him as like, in a way, a martyr, you know, in a way, because of that, you know, the charges that he's facing. But, if that individual is leading your movement, you know, that's not a good sign. But yeah, you know, very unhinged. Obviously not even giving clear answers. But people are really hyping him up. They kept following the guy around. According to Kelly, just one little tidbit that he told me, he had like no plans of leaving Minneapolis. He says until all ICE agents leave, but, you know, Brandon, I don't think it's a good look for Bondi if you're going to have like this guy out still protesting and like just, you know, being chaotic. Also, like, we don't even know if he could potentially lead another riot inside a church. I mean, it's likely, but yeah, he's out there. So far the judge has given him a no order contact with Don Lemon. It'd be interesting to see if they've been texting each other, but, yeah, an unhinged guy. Kind of just shocked that I even ran into him, but at least got it out there and then people could just hear just the craziness, but also like, the absurdness of like, why is he released? That's not an individual that's like should be out in the public and like rallying.
Yeah. No, 1,000%. 1,000%. He just seems like he needs a hug. That's what he seems like. He seems like he needs a hug and I would give him a hug. I'd be a little worried though, but I'd give him a hug.
He needs more than that. I'm going to be nice right now on the
camera. Oh, Jorge. Yeah.
Oh, there's a three. There's a three.
He's, what a crowd of good lookers. What can I say? Jorge Ventura, we appreciate all that you do, my friend. You're great on the ground doing your thing. Give him a follow on X. He's an incredible independent yep. journalist. You were on the ground, obviously, in Minneapolis for Daily Caller, but you're independent. So folks, give him a follow on Twitter. Ventura Reports. That's Ventura Report. Sorry, report. And give him a follow on X. I highly recommend it. Jorge, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
It's not easy, guys. Jorge's on California time, so when he joins us, it's very, very early for him, so we appreciate it. All right, folks, we've got a lot more to discuss in just a bit. Buckle up. We'll be joined by Matt Tardio in a little bit as well. Matt's got a lot to sound off on because you may have heard when we we're like, all right, goodbye, I got to go. Yesterday, we learned about some Iranian drone that was shot down. So there's a lot of questions I have there. Matt has been looking into it, so we'll talk to him about that. We'll also talk to him about the Chinese bio lab that was just raided over the weekend in Vegas. Now, apparently there's a connection. We're sifting through all the information, but I did post a little bit of the video of the body cam footage that was released by Las Vegas police. And there's a connection between California and a connection between the Vegas one. I'm going to have him sift all through that for you because it's interesting. I think I put up a post specifically outlining what we were being told. Turns out that I had gotten a little confused, so I'll correct that for you in just a bit. But it's ultimately the same lab that was also owned by an individual in California who's a Chinese national. So both of them, obviously, same. But there was no Ebola at the one in Vegas, it looks like. That was the one in California. But we'll get through all the information in just a second. So buckle up, a lot to dive into in just a few moments. Matt Tardio joining me in a moment.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air, can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, get a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Today, a lot happening over here that we wanted to dive into. I just did get an alert, and I wanted to make sure we saw this. Let me pull it up right now. I got an alert in regards to, remember that that monster, the Afghan national who shot those two, allegedly, I have to say, because he's just pleaded not guilty, but the individual who shot those two National Guardsmen, allegedly, he has just appeared in court and pleaded not guilty to the charges he's currently facing. Now, many of you guys know he was captured at the scene, so this is going to be a tough one for him to argue, but he is facing the death penalty because he did murder one of those guardsmen. So the prosecutors are seeking the death penalty against him for that. And obviously the other one, Andrew Wolf, is he survived, but obviously his injuries were very, very critical. And I still have not seen an update on his status, though, as to what he's enduring right now. I'm sure, given the fact that he was shot in the head, he's got a lot going on over there. And it's absolutely heartbreaking, of course. The death penalty, of course, is appropriate. I'm sure we've got it all on camera, so it's a matter of what we'll see for his criminal trial. But as of right now, he has just entered a not guilty plea. And so we'll continue to see as it all unravels. Of course, he probably try to get the death penalty taken off the table. But this is totally an acceptable death penalty case. And so if convicted, they should put him down like the animal he is. All right, folks, I want to get to something that I know is, a little controversial. We'll get to that one in a little bit. Judge Jeanine Pirro is going through a little bit of a rough patch. And I want to make sure we have enough time for this because it's not looking good, too good for her right now. People are really angry with her about the Second Amendment and her lack of being able to defend it. But before we get there, let me turn to this article, actually. Todd Blanche. Many of you guys know he is the deputy AG. Well, Todd Blanche, interesting enough, he's not doing a good job. Now, many of you guys pointed out he was a registered Democrat until 2024, but he was also President Trump's personal attorney, and so that probably is the reason why he landed in this position. Well, Todd Blanche, I've got a lot of criticisms of Todd Blanche's job, but there's specific ones that really do need to be highlighted. And this is just right now a report. We haven't seen an actual response to this report, but we're learning more. As many of you guys know, I did an exclusive report about Ed Martin, what's happened to Ed. But right now, there's an active effort to push Ed out of the out of the DOJ, even though the White House was the one who actually gave him the weaponization group leadership position. Now, according to the Gateway Pundit, they're claiming that Todd Blanche did not notify the White House about removing Ed Martin from that leadership position at the weaponization group, even though President Trump personally hired Martin for the job. Now, again, folks, this is the common theme here. We're watching as a lot of these things that are coming out, and these are specifically Todd Blanche's team. They're coming from Todd Blanche. False media reports are being placed in CNN constantly about Ed Martin. And if you're wondering why, it's coming from the people who are working around Todd Blanche. They are intentionally putting false information out there, trying to purge Ed Martin from the DOJ. That's what's going on right now. Now, Ed Martin's a fighter. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. But we have a real issue with Todd Blanche and the people working around him. That's the core part in all of this. So the Gateway Pundit releasing that detail regarding the White House not being up to date on that. But again, this is what they're doing. They're pushing out people that align with both what you and I believe. Alex has been doing a deep dive into this, and thank God Alex isn't letting up on the Todd Blanche situation. Blanche is a problem. Blanche is a massive problem. And I continue to hear from DOJ sources that he is the one who is trying to get a lot of these people purged, but he's doing it through people he's just onboarded recently over these last few weeks. And so we're going to keep our eye on this because we're not letting up anytime soon. That's the reason why you're seeing him do this whole media push. That's why you're seeing him on Fox News a lot more frequently. That's why he's doing the Sunday shows now more frequently. He's trying to improve his public image. But he's going after a lot of the key players, and we're not going to allow it. We're going to call it out. All right, folks, buckle up. Matt Tardio joining us in just a few moments. A lot to talk about there in regards to the Chinese biolab that was discovered in Las Vegas, plus that drone that was struck down. It was apparently an Iranian drone. We'll give you the latest on that as well in just a few moments.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com, and thanks for keeping us on the air. Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. Excited you're all jumping on board with us today. Second hour, time's flying. But we got a lot more content to dive into, stories to dive into. We're excited that you're all jumping on board with us today. Oh, it's been an interesting, very interesting couple of days. A lot of crazy news stories happening. I'll break down that Chinese biolab story that I tweeted about yesterday. There's more information that I'm learning, and there's a little bit of a correction that I'd make. So I'll give you the very latest on that. But I want to talk about what happened yesterday specifically with an Iranian drone. We're being told by both the Pentagon, it looks like, and the White House that there was a drone that was struck down, this coming from CENTCOM. And it's quite the interesting details that we're learning in regards to all of this, because I thought we were trying to work out a deal with the Iranians. So take a listen to clip 14.
Today, I did speak with folks over at the Pentagon this morning who said that CENTCOM acted both appropriately and necessarily to protect our U.S. personnel and equipment in the region. So CENTCOM did make the decision to shoot down that Iranian drone. It was unmanned. It was acting aggressively towards our USS Lincoln, which we know that aircraft carrier is in the region at the direction of President Trump. As for the president, he remains committed to always pursuing diplomacy first. But in order for diplomacy to work, of course, it takes two to tango. You need a willing partner to engage. And so that's something the president and Special Envoy Witkoff are exploring and discussing right now. Special Envoy Witkoff is set to have conversations with the Iranians later this week. Those are still scheduled as of right now. But of course, the president has always a range of options on the table, and that includes the use of military force. The Iranians know that better than anyone. Just look no further than the highly successful Operation Midnight Hammer, which took not just Iran, but the entire world by surprise and completely obliterated their nuclear capabilities earlier last year.
All right, joining me to discuss is Matt Tardio. He is a podcaster and obviously a veteran and a former law enforcement officer. So he's going to enlighten us on all things related to Iran right now. He's available on X, worth the follow. Anger tab is where you could find him at. Matt, thanks for being here. It's exciting to have you on, of course. And by the way, thank you for helping out. I was out for a couple of days last week, and so I appreciate you jumping on board and filling in and helping us patch up those 3 hours. So thank you, my friend. I appreciate that.
A pleasure.
Yes, it was. And our audience loves you, so this is good news. But I wanted to jump into this topic because this was a big one. You know, the Iranians were hearing that they're trying to work out a deal with the White House right now, but then we hear this drone story, and it's quite concerning coming from the Pentagon. What's the very latest on that?
Yeah, the drone story. So what they were talking about, it was a Shahed 139 drone. And this is not like your typical drone. A lot of times when people hear the Shahed drone, they think back to the Ukraine-Russian war, where Shaheds were made pretty dang famous because Russia's been sending them across the border. At one point in time, you had over 30% of the aerial munitions coming across the Russian border into Ukraine were these Shahed drones and others like them with components that were being supplied by Iran. But nonetheless, you know, the Shahed is really, it's a series of drones that's been put out by Iran. And the 139 can be a kind of, you know, likened to the U.S. Predator drone. It's decent at surveillance, but it's also got the ability to be armed. So this isn't just a surveillance drone. It also has, air to ground munition capabilities, which means, it could have targeted that ship. So what the White House is saying is that, that Shahed drone was going over, moving aggressively towards her ship. There was an F-35 crew that went over and engaged and shot the drone out of the sky. Iran came out and said that they are aware that this drone has disappeared off their radar, but they're still investigating whether or not the United States shot it down, because God forbid they admit that the United States has, aircraft that they can't see, because that would scare the hell out of them.
Yeah, and that's the problem here, too. And I want to ask you, too, because we were reported on it yesterday. I was talking about how Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff are going to be the two going over there to try to talk with the Iranian officials to try to work out some type of peace agreement. We don't know how that's going to go, though, but I want to hear your take on, number one, Jared, obviously Kushner being involved in all of this. He was someone who we were told during the campaign trail was no longer interested in being in the politics side of things, but here he is front and center. Do you expect the Iranians to try to come to the table with a peace agreement that's reasonable for both sides?
Well, I think the question is whether or not the Iranians come to the table with anything, but more so, regardless of what they come to the table with, can the U.S. trust them, right? Right. And so when we look at this and we go, okay, well, what is Iran going to do moving forward? Even if they say they're not going to enrich uranium, which, by the way, ever since the 12-day war, they've been saying that they are going to continue to enrich their uranium. They're going to continue on with their nuclear program. Russia has been providing the scientists over into Iran to make that happen. Now, I guess the crazy part to me when I end up taking a look at this, if the U.S. does decide to go along with an agreement with them, you're talking about having Russia take control of the uranium, or so I'm hearing, right? And that's what we were kind of stalling out for the last time, was we had Russia and Ukraine that were going back and forth and we're trying to work out negotiations with them. But at the same time, we need Russia to go into Iran and secure the uranium and move it out. Mm-hmm. I look at that and I go, I don't know, Brianna, if I asked you, would you trust the victims of Jeffrey Epstein to be taken out of his control by Michael Jackson and locked in his basement? I wouldn't. And so I'm not sure why we're going to trust Russia to go and pick up uranium. And I don't think we're going to do that. The last time we ended up bombing Iran back in June of last year, we ended up having negotiations that were scheduled within like a couple days, and we ended up dropping bombs anyways. And that really ticked Iran off. And I don't think that they have reason really to trust the United States either going into this. And the big concern really is the amount of U.S. troops that are over inside of the Middle East, because Iran has came out and said that they're going to kill, undoubtedly, they will fire everything they have at U.S. troops that are over in the region. So you're talking, somewhere in the vicinity of 40,000-50,000 U.S. troops staged across the Middle East. Well, those troops need to have some overhead cover. We got to have, surface-to-air munitions in order to take out any of those ballistic missiles that Iran's going to be shooting at our U.S. forces and our allies over in the region. And so the U.S. has been moving those things into the Middle East, right? And we're preparing for it. And part of that, a lot of people don't even know this. During the 12-day war, we had, fast movers, right? Like fighter jets that were actually chasing down ballistic missiles that Iran was shooting and dropping them out of the sky, right? So we had our own aircraft just speeding after these suckers and shooting them down. The footage is actually really cool to see. Same thing with a lot of the drones, it's not how good our aerial defense assets are, it's how many ballistic missiles Iran has. Their goal is just going to be to overwhelm our systems, right? Eventually they end up getting depleted and you have to reload those things, and it creates a window. So if they can shoot enough to overload our system, then they're going to have this window where they can, attack our troops. So we've got to make sure everything's covered. And I know it's ticking the Iranians off because they're getting killed, left and right now. And Trump last month, he ended up coming out stating that we're locked and loaded, we're ready to go, don't worry about it, help's on the way. And the diaspora is pissed. They're sitting there going, where is the United States? Why aren't they doing anything yet? They're having a revolution inside their country, and they want the United States to go in. They want the United States to do something. And at the same time, you got to understand that the loyalty of the president of the United States of America is to the United States of America first. I do believe that it is an American first agenda in order to remove the Ayatollah, in order to support that revolution and get rid of him, because of the chaos, terror, support for China, support for Russia, that they're causing around the world. Russia and China 1,000% are going after the United States dollar, trying to collapse us economically. The Iranian regime is a big part of propping that up. I think all of this is just, we're looking for different excuses in order to make it happen, but it's going to happen. I don't think for one minute the United States has any interest in trusting a word out of the Ayatollah's mouth or any official that comes out of Iran. And even then, you have to ask yourself the question, okay, so they're going to obey Trump. you know, in the next year to 2 years. But what happens once Trump gets out of office and we get some a weak leader in office, right? Like, what's going to happen then? We get some granola eating Democrat in there that, you know, is just filled with soy that doesn't want to freaking attack Iran, and they're busy building nuclear weapons. You know, does that make America any safer? Does that make our allies any safer? And the answer to that is no.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the issue here. And I think, and I kind of want you to explain it a little bit. When it comes to how the U.S. could assist Iran, Americans, I don't think would support, obviously, there being an actual on the ground intervention with American lives being there present. How can the U.S. assist them from more of a remote position, I guess I'd say? Is there a way to do just that?
Yeah. So when you look at having this entire government being overthrown, it's not as simple as people would like to say. It's ultimately going to, you know, end up in the hands of the Iranian people, whether or not that actually happens. How the U.S. can assist is going to be going back years from today, mm-hmm. right? And everybody knows Mossad is over inside of Iran, but I have no doubt that, you know, the agency's over there as well. They likely have been working with different factions over inside of the country, supplying them with arms, munitions, funding, et cetera, coordination. For the upcoming strikes, you know, if what we're actually talking about is the U.S. supporting a revolution here, which it certainly looks like it. So it's coordination with those folks on the ground, and you're never going to have, you know, a successful overthrow of a government, especially one like Iran, without the support of the military. And so if it is successful, right, like if that's what we're moving towards, some of the first things that we should see following these U.S. strikes after maybe a day or 2 days is we should see members of the Iranian military, like entire units that are standing up and going over to fight against the IRGC. There's a problem. You know, the IRGC controls all of the weapons. And so you've actually got to make these weapons get issued out. And there's lots of other things that have to go into it. But ultimately, that is how we would end up doing that. So overwhelming fire superiority from the United States government, knocking out communications, taking out key leadership, and potentially supporting some of these units that are on the ground moving towards, you know, some of the IRGC forces.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that all plays out. I'm looking forward to the meeting that's going to be taking place very soon between obviously Jared Kushner, like I detailed, and Steve Witkoff. So we'll see how that goes. But I wanted to ask you as well, Matt, about the Chinese lab that was uncovered in Vegas. Now, this isn't anything new. This is something that I know a lot of people have been talking about since 2023, because there was one that was uncovered, I believe, in California. And here's the correction part. So I put in a tweet that there was Ebola found at that lab in Vegas. It turns out that wasn't found in Vegas. It was actually found in California. But the owner of the labs, the person whose name is on it, is a Chinese national, and he's connected to both of them. But I'm going to let Matt, because you've been following this story, I'm going to let Matt detail for our audience specifically what was uncovered in that Vegas one and how it's connected to the California one as well. So take it away, Matt.
I don't know. How much fear do you want me to spark into your viewers today over this lab?
This is InfoWars. We can handle it all. We handle the truth.
Yeah, right. Oh, gosh. Okay, so you're right. They're both connected by the same owner, right? And this was something that was known back in 2022 going into 2023. The first person to report it that I was able to find is a gentleman by the name of Tony Saruga, if I pronounced his name correctly, over on X. He's got a very large account, and he ended up claiming that he's the one that ended up tipping them off. And after that lab over inside of California got raided, they ended up pulling out lots of vials of all sorts of different stuff. But the other thing that they ended up finding was a bunch of paperwork, and they ended up, you know, tracking down this owner who, by the way, the owner of this lab was also a wanted fugitive from Canada, for a lot of different things. I think he had like a $300 million judgment or something. It is insane. So how he got in the United States is my first question. Anyways, so they were aware that they had this illegal lab going on over inside of California, with all sorts of crazy stuff. And the vast majority of the mice inside of that lab were dead. And local news sources try to cover it up and state that it was just, you know, the CDC or whoever killing off these freaking rats to make sure that, you know, nothing ended up making its way out. Nope, not true. When they went in there, a bunch of them were already dead. The problem for me is that in 2022, going into 2023, they knew the connection to this lab over inside of Las Vegas. Lab in Las Vegas is reportedly being ran out of an Airbnb. They had a like shed in the backyard that ended up having, all of the, you know, unknown vials worth of stuff in it. People were reporting it to be smelling like a hospital, but not a clean hospital, like a dirty, nasty hospital, right? And that is the tip that Las Vegas Metro PD started working off of about a week before the raid, in order to get their way in there. So the question is, if we were aware of this location, we were aware of an illegal lab in California, why weren't we taking care of the one in Vegas? Why weren't we investigating that? Why weren't we looking into that? Probably the most troubling part is Tony claims that there is paperwork that got pulled out of the California lab that would suggest that there is probably about 500 of these scattered across the country. The scariest part for me is when we look at this and we go, okay, COVID-19, we now know that that ended up originating out of the lab in Wuhan. And it was pretty strategically timed, in my opinion, for when that ended up happening. But we look at what's going on in the world right now, and we're talking about, you know, taking out Iran, and everybody's worried about illegal aliens, complaining about the illegal aliens inside of the United States of America. Well, what people aren't paying attention to is China. And China, you know, I likened it yesterday to, you know, the U.S. coming up with stealth aircraft back in, what was it, the late 70s, early 80s when we came out with them. First time it ended up seeing conflict, our first stealth fighter. First time it saw conflict was in Panama. We dropped two bombs over inside Panama. People were judging the accuracy of it. And then we ended up taking it over into the Gulf War, where it saw a lot of combat. And it kind of changed the theater of warfare because, you know, for the longest times, the Russians had, you know, set up radar. They had, and you know, based off of, you know, all sorts of other technology. But figuring out how to penetrate that radar, figuring out how to penetrate those aerial defense assets was kind of a huge deal. So when we came up with a stealth fighter, it scared the crap out of Russia. Well, you know, if you are China and you want to start taking, I don't know, say Taiwan, or you want to start taking over the world, or you want to thrust the U.S. deeper into debt, you don't have to worry about attacking the United States directly anymore because we have a wide open border. And we have some of the worst policies ever. A congressman went over and he was complaining the other day up in Congress. We don't even have a federal agency to track these bio labs. And the scariest part about it is it's in Las Vegas. And they ended up busting this thing after SHOT Show. And at the same time that SHOT Show was going on, and SHOT Show, by the way, has around 50,000 attendees that end up showing up to it from all 50 states and over 100 plus countries from around the world. And at the same time, you also have, I don't even remember what it's called. It's the porn awards, right? For all the porn stars in the adult entertainment industry, they have their awards and they treat it as kind of like a cover story for one another. So people can go, oh, I'm going to SHOT Show, and they really go to the AVN. And instead of going, you know, it's sad. But that's another 50,000 traveling from all around the world. And so you have an Airbnb, number one, which is a great location in order to pick up and spread diseases to all sorts of different people. And you have it taking place over inside of Las Vegas. And if what Tony suggests is correct, which is there's 500 of these suckers scattered around the United States of America. And I did see yesterday that they found several more companies that were registered under this individual in the Vegas area. Well, if they ended up finding that, how many of these things exist and how many people potentially could have been infected, right? The World Health Organization put out a warning for a new flu that's making its way around, and it's extremely deadly over inside Asia right now. So yeah, I'm kind of scared that there's another pandemic coming up. And the moral of the story is Russia, China, they don't need to attack us militarily. Like, it's all great and dandy that we're putting a golden dome up over inside of Greenland, but we're not taking care of the problems in our backyard, these Chinese bio labs.
Yeah. No, that's a big problem. And I don't think people realize how bad it is. I mean, I remember, I believe it was last year, they announced that they had raided a CCP police station. They had shut it down. That was operating in New York City, but it was operating openly. I mean, we all saw it. This wasn't like a big secret, although the FBI claimed it was secretive. It wasn't secretive. So we have Chinese coming here. We had the Chinese coming here, opening up shop all across our country. And there's very little that's being done. And it's not just that, too. There's a lot of Chinese nationals. They're buying up land and then giving it off to Islamists so that they could build mosques and other things. And it's a major, major issue here, Matt. But like, we're talking about an Airbnb. Like, how does the government even step in on this? I mean, they utilize an Airbnb. We don't know who owns that Airbnb. Obviously, Airbnb is going to claim that they don't have any affiliation with it. It's just an individual who was using their services and probably just rented one of their properties out. But how do we shut it down when people are utilizing all these LLCs that are sketchy, buying up land all across the country? And if they're not doing that, then they're using Airbnb to set up these labs. How do we prevent all of this?
I think it starts with enforcing the immigration policy, right? And looking into that, it starts with making sure that these people aren't getting identification here in the United States of America. They're not getting real IDs in states like California when they have absolutely zero documentation. We shouldn't be having people come to this country with those. And then furthermore, they definitely shouldn't be opening up businesses underneath, you know, fictitious identities that they've built behind these real IDs registered in these other states. Those are all very serious national security concerns. You know, the Democrats are trying to paint this as if it is some sort of, you know, a human rights issue, when in fact it's a national security issue. You know, they are very quick to complain when you have, you know, families that are being separated in the United States of America. But God forbid we put the onus on those families for coming here and doing that in the first place. They're very quick to complain, you know, when people are assaulted here in the United States of America sexually, but they 100% support open borders. They don't bring up the fact that 80% of the women that are trafficked across the southern border in the United States are sexually assaulted. If you are not for, if you are not for sexual assault, why the hell are you for illegal immigration coming and pouring across our borders or open borders? And even if the United States opened up our borders and said, you know what, everybody feel free to come across, the cartel's still going to control the crossing, and they're still going to rape 80% of these women. They're still going to funnel them into human trafficking. You know, I couldn't tell you how many dirty, like, businessmen probably go into these, like, different massage parlors and things like that here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And do their business inside of there. And I want you to think, you know, those people are in actual slavery, right? And all of that's just pouring across our southern border. And these people are supporting it. They're enforcing it. And if anything, they're opening up the doors by having these sanctuary cities, in these sanctuary states like California, to where they say, no, you come here, we'll take care of you. You know, they'll legitimately, they have people that meet up with these, and I call them victims for crying out loud. They meet up with these victims that are coming into this country, and they let them know, don't worry, you're safe here. And then we have, you know, cities like Chicago that are giving, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars in aid for these illegals that are pouring into their city. Well, they're not even taking care of their own people that are in the city. So they're creating incentives for these people to come to the United States of America. They get put in human trafficking, and then they just get, you know, just wrecked, completely and totally wrecked. And then they use it to push their own political agenda. Meanwhile, the enemies of the United States of America are using these things, and they're exploiting it. They're absolutely exploiting it, setting up these biolabs. And by the way, not just setting up biolabs, but also spying on the United States of America, spying on our military installations, and sowing discourse in the American population. So we need to solve this problem, and it needs to solve fast. It is a national security matter, and it needs taken care of.
Yeah. No, it does need to be taken care of. This needs to be the top priority. It's really frustrating that we're not seeing much on that front. I know, though, that the FBI did make it a top priority to go after a lot of these Chinese nationals that are here in the country. Those sources in the FBI did say that they do deem this as a top priority for the agency. So we'll see how that unravels, of course. You never know what you're going to get. And by that, I mean lack of action usually is what you get. Matt, thank you for joining.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
It's true. Matt, thank you for joining us. You do a great job as always, and we appreciate your insight on all of these matters. Folks, give him a follow if you can on X. At Anger Tab is where you can find him. Matt Tardio, thank you for joining us.
Thanks again.
All right, folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a little bit. I'll be diving into a couple of stories I want to make sure you guys know about, because the mainstream media is too weak to actually cover these stories. They're afraid. They're afraid, but we're not afraid here. So we'll talk about that. A little bit about election fraud, too, because there's one brave senator who's popping up who's saying, no. The voting machines need to go. And he also is saying that some of his actual colleagues weren't elected to their positions by the American people. They were elected by the voting machines. His allegations, not mine. We'll talk about that in a little bit. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, because we just launched a brand new item that I know you guys are all going to love. Everyone needs to do this. You need to drink your electrolytes. And right now, over at the alexjonesstore.com, we just launched the hydration mix, the optimal human hydration electrolyte drink mix. These are incredible. They're so good. You should start off your day every morning by getting your electrolytes, and you can. It's at a reasonable price right now over at the shop. We just launched that a few moments ago, so you got to stop what you're doing right now. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag some of these. You're going to really want to try that strawberry lemonade. It is incredible. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. Electrolytes is what every American needs, and you need to start your day every day with just that. And we do that with you over at the alexjonesstore.com.
There's a popular online meme, Alex Jones was right. Well, I'm not always right, but I'm right about 98% of the time, and I strive to be right. And not just with the news and information we cover and my predictions, but with the products we bring you. And all the products at thealexjonesstore.com are amazing. But the most powerful, the one that 99% of people have basically instant results with, I bet like 3 people out of 500 I've given to that didn't feel anything, is our Ultra Methylene Blue, made in Florida and 10 times stronger. Incredible energy, 99% of people within 30 minutes. Feel the energy, no letdown, and it's so good for your cells. Again, it would take hours to get into all the things it does for your body. Ladies and gentlemen, it's available right now, back in stock. Get yours, and it keeps this broadcast and what we do on the air, so it's a 360 win. If you don't get our ultramethylene blue, you're really missing out, and it really is better than any methylene blue I've ever taken. Believe me, you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com and get our ultramethylene blue. It is simply insane.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things, and their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans, and we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP. And it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule. It should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1. It's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle. And it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stop drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal Work Study. You're all jumping on with us today. It's a good day for those in the independent journalism world. It's a good day for people who stick up for basics, like the facts, while saying they're journalists. It's not a good day, though, if you're an employee at the Washington Post. Today's not a good day at all for you because WAPO is doing a massive round of layoffs. It's true. They are. I reported a little bit on my X page that we kind of figured they were going to be doing some layoffs, but the Washington Post has just begun tossing out about 300 so-called journalists. The layoffs are slated to shrink the newsroom by hundreds of journalists, cutting into the Post's local, international, and sports coverage. Oh, what a tragedy. The layoffs were also announced during a Zoom call, it looks like today, and that was kind of the speculation going on earlier this morning that I had posted about. But it looks like it's official. The Washington Post has made these massive amounts of layoffs, cutting one-third of its total staff. And sucks to suck, some would say. Interesting enough to, I mean, it's worth noting, I guess. The Washington Post Guild is out here saying that these layoffs are not inevitable. The newsroom cannot be hollowed out without consequences for its credibility. You're probably a little too late. Credibility was shot down a while ago. See, that's what happens when you get involved in politics. You endorse bad politicians. Nobody wants to pay attention to your outlet anymore. This is what it looks like when you lose the trust of the American people. Massive layoffs, massive layoffs. So best of luck to them. See, this is the problem, right? When you are an independent journalist, when you are working for a corporate media outlet, you got to run on your credibility, right? Your credibility is, do the American people trust you? And if your background is that you work for the Washington Post, well, chances are the American people don't trust you. You know, in fact, we were talking about a story and we were pitching on like people to have on, and I joked because one person who's now independent has like a resume that just reads New York Times, Washington Post, like all these corporate media outlets. I'm like, yeah, we can't get them on. To me, that's, for those in the corporate media world, that's a sign of they deem credibility. For me, I look at that and I say, well, you're a propagandist. Can't have you on. Probably work hand from your job too. So good luck to all of those at the Washington Post who are going to find out they're out of a job now. Best of luck. It sucks, but it sucks to suck. All right, let's turn the page a little bit. I'll be a little nicer. Oh, no, never mind. We'll stop that. We'll stop it. I want to talk about this one. This one's a little infuriating. I know a lot of you guys were fired up, but I was kind of waiting to see more information on this before I had a take on it. But the D.C. U.S. attorney, which is Jeanine Pirro, as many of you guys know, she was the former Fox host. You like her because she's tough on crime, is what she says. But then there's comments like this that are made that just really have me scratching my head. I want you to listen to what the judge said. Again, she's a D.C. U.S. attorney, but I still call her judge. In clip four, she's talking about those law-abiding gun owners who dare to bring their firearms to D.C. Now, again, I understand that they think that they have restrictions in D.C. on firearms, but I'll talk about it in a second. But the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment. Take a listen to clip four.
Bring a gun into the district, you mark my words, you're going to jail. I don't care if you have a license in another district, and I don't care if you're a law-abiding gun owner somewhere else. You bring a gun into this district, count on going to jail, and hope you get the gun back.
That's not going to go well. What was she thinking? What was she fired up on? Not going to go well. It's not going to go well. See, this is the thing with the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment doesn't just stop because you cross state lines. The Second Amendment covers all Americans across the country. And so to sit here and to pretend like your little gun laws, your little restrictions are what should stop the Second Amendment. No, that's not how this works. And she knows that. She knows that. She has since apologized, and we'll get to her apology in a second, but obviously that created quite the firestorm. And I'm proud for people speaking out. People like Governor Ron DeSantis. You know, he's out here just condemning what she said. American gun owners who conceal are among the most law-abiding citizens in the nation. They are friends of law enforcement. Again, that's a great point to make. Yes, they are. Ron DeSantis is also adding, they should not be targeted by law enforcement. Now, obviously, Ron DeSantis gets it. And I truly still do believe that he's probably one of our best hopes at this point. You could have your criticisms for him, but he does pull on a lot of key issues in the right direction, in my opinion, this one being one of them. So obviously the D.C. attorney, she's not, she got a lot of pushback for those comments. And again, it's not even taken out of context because she's well aware and she says it right there. She doesn't care if you have a license in another state. If you bring it to D.C., she is going to go after you and you're going to hope that you get your gun back. It's quite the bizarre claim to make. I don't know why she was talking like that, especially given the fact that she's supposed to be a conservative. But at clip five, she is trying to backtrack on those comments that she made, and she's trying to make sure these gun right groups don't go after her. Take a listen.
Morning, everyone. I'm here in the office, and some people are concerned about something I said yesterday, so I want to be crystal clear. I am a proud supporter of the Second Amendment. I have guns myself. Long guns, handguns, and I'm a proud high-heeled gun owner. In fact, I even keynoted an NRA convention. However, you need to be responsible. And every responsible gun owner that I know makes sure that they understand the laws, where they are going, and understand whatever registration requirements there might be. President Trump's goal here, and my goal as well, is to make sure we take guns out of the hands of criminals. There is a reason that we have the lowest homicide rate in recorded history. We're taking guns off the street, illegal guns, in the hands of criminals who want to use those guns to victimize law-abiding citizens. There's a big difference here. You're responsible. You follow the laws. You're not going to have a problem with me.
Okay, so she's actually not backtracking. She actually... is just highlighting her own stupidity there, and she's trying to laminate it. I mean, and the reality of it is you want to sit here and you want to cite that you want to take the guns out of the hands of criminals. Law-abiding citizens are using their firearms to protect themselves, because we've all seen what's happened in D.C., so there's no reason why they should not be able to carry. Again, she's not understanding the point here. What deters crime? Well, once criminals realize that you're going to fight back, they think twice. They think twice. And so for her to sit here and to pretend like we have to abide by whatever restrictions D.C. decided to impose is absurd. The Second Amendment is the Second Amendment. It doesn't have an exemption for D.C. You are allowed to carry. You're allowed to protect yourselves. You're allowed to protect your loved ones. And I hope all these gun right groups go after her. I truly do. To make those comments is absurd. Absurd. Do I like how she's treated criminals? Yeah. But guess what? Guess what? If people want to come into your home, people want to break into your home, you know what's going to stop them? Not a phone call to police and hope that they arrive within a reasonable time period. What's going to stop them is your firearm. These thugs are running rampant. And oh, look, another one. Those who legally obtain firearms aren't the problem here. And again, she's not toning down on that rhetoric. She is intentionally going out there and telling you, regardless of where you might be able to carry, you can't do it in D.C. You can't do it in D.C. I wonder if she carries. She probably does. You'd actually have to be a fool not to carry in D.C., especially if you work there, especially if you work within the Trump administration. See, this is the problem. This is the problem. So it's really discouraging to hear a member of the administration talk like that. You have a right to protect yourself. The Second Amendment doesn't stop once you cross over into D.C. It's an absolute wasteland, and I'm not going to sit here and rely on local PD to protect me. When it comes to my own protection, I take that seriously, and I actually do want to protect myself. I'm not going to sit here and wait for maybe a DEI-hired law enforcement officer to hopefully save me. No, no, no. We're fighting back, and we've had enough. It's a shame that the judge doesn't see through that. It's a shame that she doesn't understand the Second Amendment. She keeps saying the same thing over and over again. No, you have a right to defend yourself, and the Second Amendment doesn't stop because you cross into D.C., because you cross into a state. We should be able to carry wherever we want. This is the United States. We have a Second Amendment right. So it's good to see that everyone's going after for those comments, because they need to be condemned. They need to be condemned. I want to talk a little bit about election fraud, because there's some accusations. Again, these are accusations that are being made by a senator. Senator I like a lot, of course, though. Senator Tommy Tuberville's out here, and he's calling out the voting machines. Now, again, he's not specifically naming what companies these allegations he's about to make are directed at. And again, these are just accusations. These are not anything that has been proven to be factually true in a courtroom because, well, unfortunately, we've got a major issue here where we can't talk about election fraud. A lot of courts just don't even want to entertain the arguments. Now, I know there's a problem with the voting machines. And how do I know that? Well, there's actually a convention in Vegas where they actually have hackers try to hack into the machines so that the companies of these voting machines could figure out specifically where their vulnerabilities are. I know. I've seen it. I've spoken to those who have attended. And so I know that there are these vulnerabilities. We're talking DEF CON. You guys are great. I'm trying to remember the name. It's DEF CON. So my friend who went here told me, he's like, you don't bring your cell phone. They'll hack your phone if you're near them. But they go around and they try to figure out, how can we hack into these voting machines? And the companies know. They're just trying to figure out, how are their machines vulnerable? And then once they're able to successfully do just that, they turn over that information to the companies. and we're told they try to fix it. So there are problems. They just won't tell you that in a courtroom. Now, again, can't say that about certain companies. So I'll keep that quite vague. But Senator Tommy Tuberville's out here, and he is making quite the interesting accusation in regards to who's electing a lot of these U.S. senators. Take a listen to Clippy.
And then, of course, President Trump wants same-day voting, mail ballots, get rid of these voting machines. There's a half a dozen people, whether it's the House or Senate, Larry, that are up here as we speak that did not get elected. It was all bogus because we've seen the evidence. And if we don't straighten that out, you're going to see a lot more of it this fall. And it's just going to get worse and worse with the American people saying, listen, we got all y'all up there and you don't do anything to straighten it out. We want closed borders and we want fair elections. Those two things they are demanding. And as Republicans, we had better to listen to them and do that or we're going to lose next fall.
Yeah, that's very likely. That's very likely. And the reality of it is it's quite impressive that the senator is making those claims that there are people right now in D.C. who have not been elected, although we've never actually seen a specific list of names of people who he might deem as individuals who may have stolen an election. I do want to hear more. I do want to hear more on that. So I look forward to reaching out to Senator Tuberville's office to see if there are specific senators that he has some level of information on that may have not actually gone elected. Maybe the election machines voted for them. But when it comes to the voice of reason, I want to also highlight this. This will give you a little bit of hope. There's a new CNN poll out there that shows how many Americans are on board when it comes to voter ID. And the number is actually quite impressive. Take a listen to clip 9.
Take a look here. Favorite photo ID to vote. 85% of white people favor it. 82% of Latino. 76% of black Americans favor it. So the bottom line is this. Voter ID is not controversial in this country. A photo ID to vote is not controversial in this country. It is not controversial by party, and it is not controversial by race. The vast majority of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj that, in fact, you should have a photo ID to be able to vote.
Yeah, you should. It's kind of common sense. And the fact that they deem it as something that's racist tells you everything you need to know about all of this. Listen, most Americans get it. They need an ID. They have an ID, and they have no problem showing their ID. Just a matter of, well, are we going to pass this or not? See, there are key people who are trying to steal your elections who don't want you getting that. They just don't want it happening. And I think it's really quite interesting when you kind of walk through it and you realize these people are all frauds. These people are all frauds. I want to play clip 11 for you. Zohran Mamdani, obviously, he's the guy who's mayor of New York City. And I roll my eyes when I said that just because this didn't have to happen. But unfortunately, we have individuals who did not want to act. And now Zohran Mamdani is now New York City mayor. There was an officer-involved shooting that took place just the other day. And it has to do with the man who's armed with a knife. But here's the thing, right? We're going to see the body cam footage, but we're also going to hear first from Zohran Mamdani, who is openly admitting to going and visiting the individual who was shot by police because he allegedly had a knife and he was running towards police officers with that knife. Now, this all started after there was a 911 call made by an individual, this individual's parents. And apparently he was not doing well. They called in and said he was in emotional distress and needed medical attention. Take a listen to Zohran Mamdani detail it and then watch the actual body cam footage to see what this individual allegedly did. Take a look.
And as you said, I spoke with the Chakraborty family and I visited Chavez in the hospital. And there is no family should have to endure this kind of pain.
Baba, baba, no!
Hey, put the knife down! 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 Move! 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 Put the knife down! Put the knife down! Put the knife down!
So as you see there, he's being instructed to put the knife down. Put the knife down. Won't put the knife down, though. And then goes on to run towards law enforcement. You know what that is? Most people who get it, right? That's suicide by cop. I mean, the reality of it is you don't run towards law enforcement officers with a weapon and then hope that they what? Coddle you? See, this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to use this as a divisive pull because Zohran Mamdani doesn't want law enforcement officers to appear at the scene. What would you rather, when an individual is chasing and running after law enforcement, you want a social worker? What social worker is going to want to appear on the scene with an individual who's going to try to stab them? Yeah, he has mental health issues. It's quite obvious. His family is the reason why the police are there in the first place because they're worried for their own safety, obviously, and for his. But folks, we have a mental health crisis in this country, and those at the top, and specifically Democrats, aren't trying to actually work our way through it. Instead, you see Zohran Mahdani trying to demonize law enforcement. So we have an individual who's literally running towards police with a weapon, who's being instructed, and the officer literally shuts the door to give him some type of buffer. And that's still not enough. He's going after the officer. It is quite clear. Now, that is a good shoot, because it is quite obvious what's happening here. But the fact that the New York City mayor is visiting the person who is responsible for allegedly trying to go after law enforcement and stab them, that's insane. That's insane. Zohran Mahdani is just a communist piece of you-know-what. And it is quite insane to go there and visit the person who was trying to kill an NYPD officer just a few hours ago. Why? Well, because it drums up his narrative. He doesn't want law enforcement there. Find me a social worker that wants to go to the scene of an individual with a knife who's looking to stab them. Find me one social worker. No one. No one would go there. You couldn't pay anyone top dollar to appear at a scene like that. But this is what they do, these Marxists. They want to sit here. They want to push this nonsense on the rest of you. And they're hoping you're dumb enough to believe their lie. Dumb enough to believe their lie. James O'Keefe just released a new video, and I want to play it for you here. This is an individual who claims to work within the FBI's security department, I believe it is. And he claims to have knowledge, and we'll get into his background in a second. And I've actually asked a couple of my FBI sources about this to see what his role is specifically over at the FBI. But he makes a lot of claims against the FBI director, and it's not making FBI Director Cash Patel look very good. Take a listen to clip 10.
You're just like a diva. Is that
110%? He's a diva.
Are you serious?
110%. He's lazy. No, he's not good at his job.
I've said that if arrests do not happen, if people are not held to account, then we'll have no choice but to investigate the investigators themselves.
I am a security specialist at the FBI, so I do background checks, investigations, that type of stuff. I've been working there for 5 years now.
On hidden camera, this FBI security specialist tells us the quiet part out loud.
So you don't think there's going to be any, like, major arrests, like with Cash Patel or
No. Also, I don't think anybody would ever go to prison.
Now, thanks to the brave work of citizen journalists like Nick Shirley, Americans were able to see what actually happens in Minnesota outside these daycare centers.
Do you think they're going to arrest people, like, that are dealing with the daycare stuff?
I think by the time that case is done, even being, like, looked at, being ready to go to court, Trump won't even be in office. Like, they would most likely be thrown out very quickly. Fraud cases like that, like money stuff,
yeah.
Years, literal years of time. They're going to try and pin it on somebody.
I think you're a badass.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Ah, man. It's the story of a man who's obviously trying to sleep with a woman, and it looks like he might have been very misleading. According to those in the FBI who have formerly worked for the FBI, I should say, they tell me that this individual would have no idea about the internal investigations. He might also be kind of glorifying his position, but he's more of like an assistant to those within the agency, so he wouldn't have access to this information. I think it's important, though, that this is clearly highlighting, and it's an important report, it's clearly highlighting the mentality of those within the agency, how they just don't have any respect for the director. I mean, that's quite apparent. The fact that it very quickly is able to sit there and say, no, you're not going to see any arrest. You're not going to see anything. I mean, maybe that's the internal kind of mood over at the FBI. Now, interesting enough, the FBI has responded to James O'Keefe's report saying this individual does not speak for the FBI and does not have a firsthand knowledge of the matters discussed in this article. And obviously, they are reviewing the material, but most importantly, I was scrolling through X yesterday, and James did have an update on that. It looks like the individual has been walked off the scene and might no longer be employed by the FBI. And again, his position is security specialist. I'm told specifically that that is not a high up position that would have him privy to this type of information. So whether or not he has access to it, just I think highlights the fact that those at the FBI do not respect the FBI director. And that is a common theme that I'm hearing these days. All right, folks, let's get a little bit of a lighter mood on. I want to get to this point. In clip 7, you're going to listen to a group of individuals in Minnesota who are talking about ICE and why they dispute what ICE is currently doing in Minnesota. It's more of a laughable clip. Take a listen to clip 7.
I was angry, upset, because this could have happened to me. I would have done the exact same thing. I'm a nurse. I help people. If I see someone that needs help, I'm going to help them.
Catherine Che was one of about 100 healthcare workers who all felt the same pain, sorrow, and anger at the deadly shooting of Alex Preddy. Krista Reimel, a registered nurse and founder of the We Care Nonprofit Foundation, organized this vigil for Alex's peers at the Orchestra Hall in downtown Minneapolis.
I was at the Capitol last week with about 75 physician leaders, and they said the moral injury they're feeling right now at this moment is more intense than they felt during the pandemic.
What? What? I think that just highlights the fact that the pandemic was what we always accused it of being, and that was fake. 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 Imagine looking at Alex Preddy and being like, oh, that was worse than the pandemic. You're a nurse. Aren't you so overwhelmed with patients dying in your waiting rooms that you were just, remember those dancing videos that they used to make? Maybe that's what she's alluding to. Maybe that's what they're, you guys are so quick with this. I would probably say if you're a nurse working at a hospital, this shouldn't be worse than the pandemic if you were telling us the truth. No surprise there though, folks. These people are just so they have no sense of reality. They have no sense of reality. The fact that we have nurses going out there and making those ridiculous comments tells you everything you know about the healthcare industry these days. Alex Preddy, that this is their golden child. Their golden child. A man who was obviously going out there the days before his shooting. Was getting very violent with law enforcement. We saw a video of him kicking a car, which apparently had federal agents in it. So again, these aren't outstanding citizens. These aren't the best of the best. They like to make them seem like they are. But again, that's propaganda that you guys are seeing. All right. I want to tell you guys all about the brand new product we have featured right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. I was talking about it earlier today. If you're someone who's not getting your electrolytes in, you got to do that every day. Start your day off with taking a nice sip-a-roo of our brand new products. We've got the Ultimate Human Hydration, the electrolyte drink mix that has just now officially launched and includes French sea salt. We have two incredible flavors that we just launched right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. So you got to head on over there. And again, we just launched this less than an hour ago over at the shop. We have strawberry lemon and we have lemon lime. Now, these are two incredible flavors and the prices are actually quite amazing right now. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you subscribe, because when you do, you also get a free hydration bottle as well. That's their gift that they're giving you right now when you do just that, when you sign up for their replenishment monthly program. And it's a price that you're not going to see anywhere else, better than the supermarket. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and support us by supporting your personal health.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the
vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalists. Get Ultra Methylene Red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Today, getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program. A lot going on over here. I have to do it. Bill Gates is speaking about the report that he may have caught an STD. Bill Gates now speaking out in regards to just that. So, take a listen.
It's a $100 billion handshake.
How are you? Thank you.
Bill Gates back in Australia committing his money to medicine. But as we sat down, the world was gripped in the latest round of accusations from the Epstein files.
Yeah, I met Jeffrey in 2011. The focus was always he knew a lot of very rich people, and he was saying he could get them to give money to global health. You know, in retrospect, that was a dead end, and I was foolish to spend time with him. I was one of many people who regret ever knowing him.
Tonight, the demand for answers include from his former wife.
Those questions are for those people and for even my ex-husband. They need to answer to those things, not me.
You've no doubt seen the allegations, including some of them from the last 24 to 48 hours. Are they true?
No. Apparently, Jeffrey wrote an email to himself. That email was never sent. The email is, false. So I don't know what his thinking was there. It just reminds me, you know, every minute I spent with him, I regret and I, you know, apologize that I did that.
The problem is some of the things that he has sent and some of the information about other people that has come up in those files has been true. Why would he do this and say this about you, do you think?
You know, it's factually true that I was only at dinners, you know, I never went to the island, I never met any women, and so, you know, the more that comes out, the more clear it'll be that although the time was a mistake, it had nothing to do with that kind of behavior.
It comes at a time where trust in institutions is low and demand for charity is high. Donald Trump ending the USAID program, cutting billions and costing lives.
There are already hundreds of thousands of deaths from the money being cut off.
The Gates Foundation stepping in. Already $100 billion has been spent.
Hundreds of thousands of deaths since we've started defunding all of these foreign health groups. Do you like how he said that? He never met any women. Never any women. Bill, what about the girls? I didn't really say that, though. It was very specific on women. You see, here's the problem with Bill. Although he might try to deny these reports now, it's easy to do so when you're not under oath. It's very easy to do so when you're not under oath. Why haven't we dragged him out in front of Congress to make him testify? Why hasn't there been an investigation into Bill? He's obviously spent a lot of time with Jeffrey Epstein. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that one of the richest men in the world was going around begging for change from anyone, even Jeffrey Epstein, to help fund his global health efforts. Oh, you needed money from Jeffrey Epstein? That's the reason why you did it? That's garbage. How about you guys call him out on that? You're one of the wealthiest men in the country, in the world, and you have to beg and plead and hope that Jeffrey Epstein might end up helping you get some donors? It's obviously absurd. It's stupid. He's trying to pretend like, I met with Jeffrey Epstein for you, the people. Now, Bill, we all know what you're up to. We all think we know, at least. What would be nice to get a nice little investigation into you, but unfortunately, there's a lot of cowards out there. A lot of cowards. Bill Gates, using his words very strategically, never met any women. Women. But what about the girls, Bill? What about the girls? All right, folks, buckle up. We've got a lot more to discuss. In third hour, lots jam-packed into the third hour of the show. Billboard Chris will be joining us. I've got a lot to talk to him about in regards to the fight that they're actually winning. We're winning this fight to protect children from the transgender propaganda big news coming that way that he'll be joining us to discuss. We'll also have Logan Washburn on. Logan's working on an exclusive story that he's going to break for us on this program, so you're going to want to hear that. And Ken Silva also has an exclusive as well. He just got more photos and videos of the individual who allegedly was trying to assassinate President Trump the second time around. He'll break down his latest report in just a few moments as well, so don't go anywhere more to discuss.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his self-element formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, welcome back to the American Journal, third hour of the show. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. We have three incredible guests that are prepared to join us and break down what they've been working on. But I want to get to kind of a happier story for the American people. Common sense is thriving these days, and we're starting to see glimpses of that. And, you know, HHS has done an incredible job at digging into this transgender issue and the influence that it has over children. Specifically, they're inspiring others to jump on board, and we just saw some really incredible news. The American Society of Plastic Surgeons, they have just released kind of a new report saying that doctors should delay gender-related surgeries until age 19, and they're citing that there's insufficient evidence that shows the benefits of trying to get these children to transition while they are children. So this is a bit good news. I know a lot of people have been fighting this fight for quite some time now, because obviously children are very vulnerable to propaganda and they're not capable of being able to make permanent decisions like, you know, cutting off their breasts or having their genitals mutilated by surgeons. And it's obviously been an issue that so many in the conservative movement have been fighting for. One of those individuals joins us now, Billboard Chris, who, you know, I've been talking to Chris for several years now, and it's exciting to have him back on the show. But Chris, you've done an incredible job at fighting for children and making sure that the propaganda doesn't consume them. And you are on the front lines of this fight. So I know yesterday when this news came out that the American Society of Plastic Surgeons is now saying, hold on and wait until kids are 19 before participating in these types of gender, as they call them, reaffirming surgeries. What's your reaction to this news? Because it comes because of HHS, who has been trying to open up the dialogue and say that we should buckle up and hold off for a little bit before we push this on to children.
Yes, thank you for having me, Brianna. In shocking news, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons has discovered that cutting the body parts off of children isn't helping them. Something that every single person with any IQ above 80 has known forever, but for some reason it takes these elite institutions years to come around. They actually did put out a statement back in August of 2024 saying they were looking into this. Lior Sapir had interviewed them, and he's one of the co-authors of that HHS report, which is phenomenal. And that report has followed the lead of a systematic review done in Finland, Sweden, the UK, even one done in Canada now, all, of course, revealing that trying to change the sex of children isn't helping them. So this is huge, because this is the first major medical institution in the US to speak out against this. And this will only help with lawsuits going forward now that they're recommendation is to hold off until 19, which still isn't okay, but at least they're not recommending this be done to kids anymore.
Well, that's the part that's really disturbing, right? Because we know it's not okay. We know that this is a small victory for those of you, especially you, who fight on the front lines for these children, that they might actually start holding off and waiting here. Obviously, more needs to be done. But what does this mean in the fight for protecting our children? Does this mean that you know, now we'll see more coming out from HHS where they're actually going to be stopping these doctors from doing these surgeries, because there are many people, and I've seen it firsthand. We've talked to, sadly, a lot of the parents who are maybe in a divorce, who are fighting over custody of their child, who are being pushed into this. Does this mean that there might actually be a holdup here where they won't be operating on these children anymore?
So this is a multi-pronged approach from the Trump administration. And I just want to say, first of all, thank God for President Trump, because he's doing everything in his power to stop this child abuse more than anyone thought was possible. Not only did he, in his first month in power, sign an executive order pulling federal funding from any hospital doing this, but now the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, is looking into fraud, because in many of these cases, these doctors, even in states where this has been banned, instead of saying they're prescribing puberty blockers, for example, for a child with gender dysphoria, they'll say that the child has an endocrine disorder. Or they'll say instead of a double mastectomy that it's a breast reduction. They're falsifying their insurance coding to get away with this. So we've got the FTC looking into fraud. We've got the HHS with this phenomenal report. We have the Center for Medicaid and Medicare under Dr. Oz, who previously was for transitioning children on his show. He's done a 180. And they're now pulling Medicaid funding from any institution engaged in these sex-rejecting procedures. And we also have the DOJ going after bad actors in this field. So on every single front, the Trump administration is going after these guys. And it's having an impact all over the world, I should add, as well.
Yeah, yeah, I did see it. There are other countries that are also jumping on board with this. And that is really refreshing to see. I also wanted to get to, I guess, you know, more good news, because I think this is going to make doctors think twice before they operate on children. But there was recently a jury who awarded a woman $2 million after finding that there was two medical professionals liable for malpractice. They did transition her, it looks like, back when she was a minor. She is now 22 years old, and she sued both her psychiatrist and the plastic surgeon involved in a double mastectomy. And this happened in Westchester, New York. Obviously, and your heart breaks because, you know, this is obviously something that's not reversible. $2 million doesn't seem like enough, especially given the fact that, you know, sadly, if she ever decides to have kids, she might have problems. I don't know how far they went with all of this, but at least this is a major, major victory for those in this movement as well. That this will cause doctors to think twice before they push these kids to get these devastating surgeries. What's your reaction to this?
Yeah, this is hugely important. So there are about 28 cases going on right now, and this is the first one to make it to trial. Mm-hmm. The jury awarded $2 million, and they found the psychologist 70% liable and the surgeon 30% liable. So, of course, insurance companies are going to pay out for this verdict. Mm-hmm. This will put a chill across the insurance profession where they're not going to want to insure these procedures anymore. So we need more of these victories so we can hit these insurance companies in their bottom line. That's hugely important. That is as important as anything. Now, also, it's great that this was in New York State, because Zoran Mamdani has sworn that he's going to use $65 million of New York taxpayer funds to make New York City a sanctuary city for kids from all over the country to come and receive puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgeries. So it's great that this was done in New York State. Furthermore, this sends a message to all the other young people out there who've been harmed, who perhaps haven't come forward. Because for a lot of them, why would they come forward? All they're going to get is abuse online from thousands of people who previously called themselves their friends. But a lot of people are just kind of silent about this. They don't want to take the abuse. They've been harmed already. They've officially detransitioned, which you can't, of course, grow back body parts that have been cut off. You can't undo the damage that has been done. But hopefully this sends a message to them that they can also sue. So I would encourage them to get in touch with my friends at Campbell Miller Payne, a law firm in Texas of dads who all left their previous profession just to sue for these young people, because we need to get them justice.
I love that. That's awesome. Good for them, because these kids need justice. And, you know, when you go into adulthood, you made a decision when you were a kid. I mean, you can't make these decisions when you're that age. It's not fair. It's not right. You can't even drink. You can't even get a tattoo, but you could do these types of procedures. There's no logic involved in any of this, but the propaganda is real, Chris. And it's something that you also, take on head on all the time. And yesterday I thought there was a really interesting exchange, because the CEO of Netflix was actually testifying yesterday on the Hill, and it was more in relevance to a merger that they're trying to pull off. But it was interesting because Senator Josh Hawley addressed the reason why I stopped subscribing to Netflix, and that's the transgender propaganda they spew throughout all their films. I pulled my membership when I saw a cover photo of a biological woman pretending to be a man, pretending like men could get pregnant, and that was it for me. I was out. But so many parents are relying on Netflix for, you know, entertainment for their children, and it's being consumed with this transgender propaganda. So Josh Hawley actually asked about it yesterday in clip 16 while testifying, having the Netflix CEO testify. Let's take a listen to that.
If you turn on Netflix, you'll find that an enormous amount, and I say this as a parent with three young children, an enormous amount of your children's programming has this ideology and agenda in it. Is this an advocacy position for Netflix? Is this an ideological commitment you have? I mean, why is this?
Senator Hawley, Netflix has no political agenda of any kind. I would tell you that.
Well, then why is your children's program so full of this highly sexualized, highly controversial agenda? I don't understand it. It seems strange to me.
Respectfully, sir, it's because it's inaccurate. We have millions of hours of children's programming.
You're saying it's not there. You don't have trans, you don't feature trans characters, trans storylines, trans themes. It's not in your programming.
I'm saying we feature a wide variety of stories and programs to meet a wide variety of people's tastes.
Why does almost half of your children's program feature this highly controversial, highly sexualized material? That just seems strange to me. It can't possibly be a reflection of the population.
Senator Hawley, I don't have any idea where that number would come from or what that would be. I don't believe that's been your personal experience, but I can't speak to that.
Well, what do you mean you don't think it's been my personal experience?
You don't think that
I monitor what my children watch on your, here's what I tell you what my personal experience is since you bring it up. My personal experience is that my three children, I can't let them watch anything they want on Netflix. I can't let them watch anything on Netflix unless I preview it. Because I don't have confidence in what's on your platform. I don't know what they're going to encounter, and I tell you what, I don't want my kids being pushed an agenda about their sexuality or gender identity when I have not had the opportunity first to discuss it with them and to form them in that. And I, frankly, on behalf of parents around the country, it offends me that Netflix is pushing this content at parents in what seems to be a very coordinated, thought through, planned out agenda in a way that, frankly, I think undermines parents, certainly undermines me and my wife. We have to watch every show beforehand before we can let our kids watch it. Now, I don't know. That seems pretty concerning to me. I know you make a gob of money on it, and maybe that's the answer. But it just seems to me that it's a disservice to the parents of this country, particularly given what's happening with our youth on this subject.
All right. I want to step in on this issue because obviously, Chris, this is a heated topic that many have been talking about for a while now. But Netflix is looking to merge with Warner Brothers. And the fact that Netflix is just so far left is deeply concerning. And I know the antitrust division is looking into this as well. But what do you make of this? Because he specifically said it was inaccurate when Josh Hawley mentioned all of this transgender propaganda that's being pushed in their films, their shows, and it's directed at children. Do you think it's inaccurate, though?
Inaccurate. You can't turn on a single show on Netflix without seeing some of this or seeing, you know, whatever. I'm not going to get into all of that.
Yeah.
But there's nothing more pathetic than a grown man enabling this child abuse and enabling this madness of gender identity. And I want to say real quick, we don't have gender identities. This whole thing is made up. The term never even existed until 1964 when it was invented by a professor at UCLA named Robert Stoller. And since then, this idea that our gender is separate from our sex was going around in academic circles. And when gay rights were won and we have the advent of social media, this exploded amongst our kids. But I heard in an earlier segment, Bill Gates talking about how the defunding of USAID has led to hundreds of thousands of deaths. Of course, they can't point to a single death. Mm-hmm. But what was USAID really doing? It was funding gender equity in Uganda or Afghanistan or wherever in the world. They were wasting billions of dollars of your tax money, sending this to NGOs who then send this out into the publishing industry. And this is why we see transgenderism everywhere, because it was awash in money. And if you wrote a child's book about a transgender child or a transgender bunny, it was guaranteed to get published. And the same goes for the television industry. That's why we see so many of these shows on Netflix and all these other streaming platforms. And it's time we just say stop, because there's no such thing as a transgender child. This is the most harmful social contagion in our lifetimes. This is the most harmful medical scandal in modern history. There's no truth to any of it. So these men need to get a wake-up call, and I specifically pick on the men because I'm a man, and I think men out there need to do more to speak up.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris, they do. We do. We appreciate you for speaking up on this, you know, topic. This is obviously something that, and I've covered it before with you, has led to you getting assaulted in the streets for simply just asking questions and simply trying to get people to change the path that they're currently on when they're kind of dissecting and going through the debate itself, because obviously this is an important one. So Chris, we appreciate all that you do. Give him a follow on X, folks, if you don't do that already, at Billboard Chris. That's where you could find him. He's doing incredible work and trying his very best to protect children from the transgender propaganda, and we greatly appreciate him for doing that. So Chris, thank you for joining me. As always, we appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, folks, a lot's happening right now. We're getting ready to buckle up on this. I got a great exclusive coming your way in just a few moments, and it comes to us from the great folks over at the Dallas Express. But before we get there, I want to play this clip for you. It's an interesting clip. I just saw it pop up, and I was like, we got to play it. Because right now, the Treasury Secretary, Scott Benson, he is testifying right now. And Maxine Waters, who obviously, as many of you guys know, is a congresswoman who's absolute garbage, decided her very best to try to get a little one-liner in there to go after the Treasury Secretary. And it didn't go over well for her. Take a listen.
Ability and putting the economy at risk. Yes or no? You have to explain.
Representative Waters,
will you be the voice? Will you be the voice?
Of inflation.
Will you be the voice of reason?
And
will you be the voice of reason?
A study yes from no? Morgan University.
Reclaiming my time.
Was a mass unfettered immigration.
Mr. Chair, will you let him know that when I asked him
time does belong to housing woman not California.
10 and 20 million immigrants.
Can you shut up?
The housing stock of working Americans. And can you maintain some level of dignity?
General Labor's time has expired.
No, my time has not expired.
Your time has expired. The gentleman
took up my time.
She's so obnoxious. See, this is the problem when you elect people or you elect people to Congress that are low IQ individuals. You get Maxine Waters. You get her. You get a bunch of trash, and she's just one of them. So good on the Treasury Secretary for getting that one in there. She's garbage. She's trash. We all know just that. And, you know, it's good to call it out when it happens. All right, folks, I wanted to bring you an exclusive that comes to us from the Dallas Express. This just dropped moments ago. And so we have the reporter, Logan Washburn, on right now, who's going to break us down his very latest report. It is exclusive regarding Congressman Brandon Gill, who is looking to make sure that the DFW area isn't conquered by Islamists. And Logan joins us now. Logan, thank you for being here. I just saw you drop this brand new exclusive report just a few moments ago. And so I reached out to you last. I was like, hey, you got to come on to talk about this. This is good news. And it has everything to do with what you and I have been discussing for quite some time now. So break down this latest report that the congressman is currently working on.
So this report follows Congressman McGill's announcement that he's introducing a 25-year moratorium on Somali immigration into the United States. So when we were talking about this, he said this essentially ties into the issue that we're dealing with in DFW, which is large-scale Islamic immigration. And not only that, but it's a failure to integrate into society. So we've seen Epic City. We've seen a lot of other developments, such as a mosque in Leander, where these communities form enclaves. Instead of integrating and becoming American, they end up forming these highly Islamic developments and trying to essentially plant colonies around the DFW area. So Congressman Gill is very concerned about this issue. He has expressed concern that his constituents have shown, and he is trying to start pushing back on this with a moratorium on Somali immigration, because we've all seen what's happened in Minnesota recently, and he's hoping to prevent that from happening in Texas with Islamic immigration here.
Yeah, and I think this is important because although I don't think we have a big Somalian population, you got to get ahead of this. And we know that they're going to be trying to do their very best to conquer DFW as well. Those are their own words when they're up in Minnesota. We heard from their own one of their own Islamic leaders, and he specifically said the word conquer, which I think is really interesting because that's how they view it. But the American people haven't really caught on to that yet. But you know, we keep outing it. But when it comes to this, I mean, how does he plan on enforcing this? Because the reality of it is, and look, and you've covered this extensively, when these groups do come to purchase massive amounts of land, a couple of acres here, a couple of acres there, they're not running on, they're not being truthful. So they aren't coming off, and it's not a guy named Mohammed who's looking to purchase the land. It looks innocent. It looks like a group of people that are very innocent. It could also be a Chinese national. I was just actually, I'm going to report another story in Alabama where it's someone who was alluding to pretending to be Christian, and they weren't Christian. They're in fact Muslim. So how does the congressman plan on going around that? Because I think that is one of the top priorities right now, or should be the top priorities, is the people that aren't being honest when they're purchasing these lands.
Absolutely. I think you're very correct in pointing out the fact that this legislation stems from the issues up in Minnesota. We don't have many Somalis here in DFW. But what this bill does is he essentially presses pause for 25 years on new Somali immigration to the U.S. This does not affect those with current legal status, but it essentially hits pause to give folks time to acclimate and kind of assimilate to American culture. He expressed concern about a lot of the welfare fraud and things like that we've seen. But then he brought it back to Texas and pointed out that we have developments like Epic City. And then we saw in Wiley, ISD just on Monday, an Islamic group went into the school and started handing out hijabs and pamphlets on Sharia law, to the students. And they specifically targeted non-Muslim female students. The school district says this was not properly authorized, but there's some conflicting reports there. So this all goes to show we do have a growing Islamic influence in the DFW area, and legislators like Gill and others are seeking to kind of keep tabs on this and find strategic ways that we can navigate this this new dynamic, which is so foreign to North Texas of all places.
Yeah, no, I think people are starting to wake up on this front, but yeah, it is foreign to them. I don't think people realize too, because, and I always try to remind people, because a lot of people say, oh, Brianna, you're over-exaggerating the crisis that's going on right now. We're not, though. The reality of it is a lot of these people, they're building up compounds. The women don't leave their house, and they are forced to stay where they are. So you wouldn't actually see it front and center, but you could see it based on the mosques that have popped up over these last few years. Logan, I know that's something that you've covered extensively as well. I mean, we're talking over four dozen in the last 2 years. So this is a crisis, and it's one worth the attention of all Americans, because again, I keep saying it's not just happening in Texas. It's happening in Florida. It's happening in Alabama. It's happening throughout red states. And it's because we're more desirable. We obviously do share common values when it comes to the propaganda, the trans propaganda not reaching children. So they do appreciate that. But we also have the issue of, because we're low regulated states, and that's the reason why they're flocking here. So this is something that needs to be a top priority. And we look forward to seeing what unravels with this new bill. Logan, thank you for joining us. I know this was last minute, so we appreciate you jumping on to break down your latest report over at the Dallas Express. Folks, he does a lot of great reporting over in the Dallas area as well throughout Texas. So give him a follow on X, Logan Washburn 76 is where you could find him, of course. Logan, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Folks, I want to remind you that today was a big launch day over at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to head on over right now to the shop, because we just launched a few moments ago the Ultimate Human Hydration. Now, this is an electrolyte drink mix with French sea salt. You got to go give this a try. And the best part about it, it is probably one of the most reasonably priced hydrations that I've seen so far. You go to the supermarket quite often, you'll find that a lot of these packets are very expensive. But this is actually a reasonable price over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over to the shop right now, because when you become a monthly subscriber, you're going to get a great discounted rate, plus also a hydration bottle as well. They just launched this a couple of moments ago, so you got to head on over right now. If you're someone who doesn't get your electrolytes in every single day, I don't know why you don't. This is something you should do every single morning. Start your day off right. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and join us on this new mission to improve our personal health. I do it every single day. We have two brand new flavors, strawberry lemonade and lemon lime, over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you've heard about methylene blue. Well, we have the best. 7 years ago, my medical doctor told me, get on any USP grade methylene blue. Just buy it online. So I did. really didn't feel anything. My wife felt some energy. I knew it was good for my mitochondria and cells and the telomeres and things, but I kind of forgot to take it because the results weren't that dramatic. Then my main sponsor, Bigley, almost a year ago, said, try this. We have true USP medical grade out of Florida. This company actually makes it for the medical system, but they're letting us buy it and put it out. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. 15 minutes after I took it, I felt electricity through my hands and body, surging energy. It was actually kind of scary. Then it peaked in about an hour, and then no letdown. You can take this stuff and go to sleep. My workouts got better. My clarity, my focus, it's really been crazy. So, you know, the news and information we cover is super accurate. You know, the guests we have on have track records of being super accurate. I don't promote anything that isn't bona fide and real. So for all of you that have been on the fence out there, believe me, you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com and get our Ultra Methylene Blue. It is simply insane. I've given it to almost every guest that's come in on the show. I forget sometimes. And every guest has had from dramatic to insanely incredible results while they're still on the air for an hour. So here's some excerpts of what they had to say about it. You took Methylene Blue about 30 minutes ago. Are you feeling it?
I think I am. I feel it in my head and neck, too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it. Unlimited power! Ah! Ah! Yeah!
It kind of gives you, like, a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or, like, you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so, like, it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With Methylene Blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
You totally feel the difference. I use the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it, you can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesstore.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. All right, we got our eyes right now on Ryan Ruth. As many of you guys know, he's the individual who tried to assassinate President Trump. This was the second assassination attempt on President Trump that we know about, of course. But the interesting angle to hear is he's actually going to be sentenced and he's in court right now waiting for his sentencing. And so there's a lot coming about that. We'll keep you up to date though when the sentencing does drop. Of course, you'll find out here on InfoWars. You'll also find out on my X page as well at Brianna Morello. That's where you guys will go for that. But the good folks over at Headline USA are working on an exclusive that they just released a few moments ago as well. And this is why we wanted to get our next guest on. But interesting enough, folks, This one is a lot of videos and footage that we actually have not seen as of yet. So joining us to discuss is Ken Silva. He is the editor over at Headline USA. He's going to walk us through the exclusive that he just dropped a couple of moments ago in regards to all of this. All right, Ken, it's good to have you on the show. We're watching to see when the sentencing officially drops as of right now, though, but he is in the courtroom. I do understand he is expected to be sentenced today, it looks like. But you've just dropped a bunch of exclusives in regards to Ryan and what you've uncovered so far. So break down your latest report in regards to all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe we'll have to cut this off because the sentencing hearing began at 11 a.m. We could have breaking news at any minute. I do expect him to be sentenced to life. I mean, given the gravity of his crimes and the fact that Judge Cannon is handling the case. But yeah, meanwhile, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about our exclusive today. What we've done is published a giant trove of photos and videos from Ryan Roof's phone from his time in Ukraine, which he actually sent to a documentarian who kind of knew him over in Ukraine. And the documentarian provided me with this material. And I believe it represents the most detailed account of his time there to date. We've got videos of him talking about why he was there, about other volunteers, talking to Ukrainian veterans. And yeah, oh, I guess we can play one of them right now where he kind of talks about another volunteer and gets emotional in the process.
Can there speed?
Speed. So tell me, for instance, I'd love to understand some of the people you've gotten to know and their stories.
Right. In my travels here, obviously, while we may only have a small percentage of volunteers here fighting, the ones that are here are truly amazing. So some of the people that I've met, Edward from Jacksonville, Florida, 21-year-old kid, sold his motorcycle, sold everything to come here, you know. So kids that are willing to sell everything to buy a plane ticket to come here is amazing. So Jared, same thing, selling everything he owns to come here and fight from Canada. So Slim, you know, he's military. He came, he got shot in the pelvis. You know, had to get extradited to Lviv to be operated on to get the bullet out. So, but every person that I've met that has, you know, put their entire lives on hold and sold everything they owned to buy a plane ticket to come here, some from Germany, some from England, some from France, just everywhere, you know, buying bulletproof vests for themselves, buying helmets, you know, spending their own personal money to get everything they needed to come to support Ukraine. So.
All right, Ken, we'll let you go back to it now, specifically talking about what that was. Because he's obviously getting very emotional and he's inspired. So what do you make of all of this?
Yeah, you know, I wish I could tell you that I have, you know, some smoking gun that proves that he was put up to the attempt by a government agent or something like that. We don't really have anything in the trove that's quite that juicy. But I do think this shines light on his mindset, how emotional he was, you know, how passionate he was. And, you know, to me, he looks like a guy who could easily have been manipulated. Another video we have, which might not be make for the best radio, is he's kind of secretly recording other volunteer warfighters who are talking about what a disaster the war is. One saying that, you know, he had 6,000 pounds worth of equipment that a Ukrainian stole from him. They're complaining about the generals kind of saying, hey, they're just having us sit here taking mortars. So there is some really good stuff that you can find over at Headline USA. That's definitely worth digging into. I will tell you that interviewing numerous people from over there that knew him, I actually don't think he was explicitly told over there to kill Trump. I mean, he represented himself during a 4-week trial, and at any point he could have blurted that out. I think it was something more subtle. From talking to these people in Ukraine, what I've gleaned is that he probably was radicalized there. I mean, one person I interviewed who knew Ruth, he's talking to me, and at one point he goes off on a tangent about how, you know, the Russian Trump P tapes are real and he wants to punch J.D. Vance in the face. So it's kind of that milieu of people who are like super pro NATO, ultra liberal, ultra anti-Trump were those were the people who he was associating with. And these aren't like the kind of guys that you'll find at an embarrassing No Kings protest. These are more, I guess, part of the upper crust of society, you know, people that come from money, people that have connections in government, people with the resources to just go drop what they're doing and go over to Ukraine. I think that kind of rhetoric probably subliminally influenced Ruth to where he thought that if he did this, he might be a hero with these people he knew in Ukraine. But, you know, still, so we might know what influenced him, but the far bigger question that we've discussed on your show before is how he was able to operate with impunity given his long criminal record and his, you know, frankly, shady activities in Ukraine, you know, trying to recruit Afghans and Syrians to fight against Russia. This got him put on the radar of a grand total of 7 government agencies, including the CIA, FBI, State Department, Ukraine's government. So whether they missed him due to sheer incompetence or they allowed him to run at Trump, you know, out of something more nefarious reasons, that's what we still need to get to the bottom of. And, you know, last thing I'll mention about this is I also obtained a screenshot of the text message between him and a Ukrainian that he was trying to buy a rocket launcher from as part of his plot. And the screenshot is the Ukrainian sent it to another journalist who provided it to me. And he's like, oh, I thought Ryan was joking when he was asking me for a rocket launcher. But that same Ukrainian also said, well, clearly somebody gave Ryan Trump's schedule, and that's how he was able to find him at the golf course in September 2024. So even the Ukrainian who knew Ruth had suspicions immediately after the attempt. And that's, you know, these are some of the still like more darker questions that I haven't found answers to yet.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting part in all of this, right? There's a lot of questions that have not yet been answered, and we're still kind of trying to dig through it and figure it out. But there's been a lack of transparency on that front, and I think that's concerning. I've got my eye on it, too, to see when he's going to be sentenced. Obviously, we're waiting for that. So, folks at home, once we find out, we will let you know. But Ken, I also want to talk about this. We played the clip earlier in the show, but and I know this was on your radar as well. When it comes to Thomas Crooks, obviously the first assassination attempt that was on President Trump's life, this is an individual, obviously, that we don't know much about either. And I think it's concerning that the American people haven't heard more on this front. You know, when I released it, and as well as Miranda Devine and Tucker Carlson released what we received as the social media presence of Thomas Crooks, the FBI, who didn't want to give me comment prior to releasing it, instead decided to call it false reporting. But then we had Director Kash Patel yesterday on Fox News with Brett Baer. We played that clip for our audience before. And specifically in that clip, is he saying, like, we've put out everything that we're legally allowed to put out there. Are you buying that, though? Because, again, he says that it's legal what they've put out. They can't put anything that they legally are bound to not put out there. But they don't cite the laws. They don't explain to the American people what that specifically means. And for the rest of us at home, for me, it sounds like they think they're above having to explain specifically what they're referring to here. But do you think the FBI has been transparent in that as well?
Oh, well, the FBI hasn't put out any new records about the attempt since August 29th, 2024. And clearly, Kash Patel is, I don't want to say he's lying, but he's not telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And we know this because there's a May 2025 clip from when Dan Bongino is deputy director and he's on Fox and Friends. It's from his infamous spot where he almost breaks down crying because he misses his wife. But perhaps more interestingly is the fact that he says at that point when they ask him about the Trump assassination attempt that, hey, we're working on a new package of files that we're about to release soon. And we never got that. So, you know, what Bongino said wasn't true either. But, you know, the point is that he did promise more documents, and now we're being told that they already gave us everything legally that they can. I guess it was maybe a month ago that the DOJ did unseal a number of grand jury records where they were investigating whether Thomas Crooks had accomplices or how he was motivated. And those records, the actual order said that the FBI is allowed to give them to Congress now. And so maybe it's on Congress to give us those records. But still, those were only records that were being subpoenaed from like tech companies and different platforms where Thomas Crooks was active on. Really simple stuff that they have no excuse for not releasing includes like the interviews with the Secret Service agents in the days after the attempts, like what was going through your mind? Why, how did you miss this kid? There's dozens and dozens of FBI 302s with those interviews that they could release tomorrow. I mean, they could release the interview that the FBI conducted with Trump. These type of things, there's just absolutely no excuse. What they'll tell you as far as the legality of this all is that technically it's still an open investigation, even though they're not really working the case. And therefore, like when I FOIA'd a lot of these records, they told me we can't release them because they could jeopardize further law enforcement proceedings. But of course, this is just an age-old tactic that the FBI does to stonewall the public. They say, oh, we can't release it because it's still an open investigation. But that's just a terrible excuse. The grand jury's closed. Thomas Crooks is dead. It's really disingenuous what they're doing.
Yeah. Ken, I know that there's still an ongoing investigation to some people he may have been communicating with, so that I'm aware of, but the rest of it doesn't seem to make any sense to me. And for those who communicated with Thomas Crooks, I'm sure they already know that they're being investigated. It's not a secret. So I wish they'd be a little bit more transparent in that and just say, you know, there's an ongoing investigation to folks that were communicating with him. Maybe that. But just to sit here and say, we've done everything. It's just not, it's not fair. It's not, and I was glad to actually hear Brett Baer push back on Cash Patel, although Cash Patel was openly disputing what Baer was saying. I was glad to see that he was a little pushy on that one, because I think it's worth pushing back on. I want to shift gears, though, because we got a lot to cover with you. There's a lot that's been going on. The trial of the Iranian that was apparently trying to assassinate President Trump, that Iranian plot, as many people recall, well, apparently the trial is going to begin later this month. What's the latest on that front? Because we haven't heard about that in a while.
Yeah, and that's actually a case I would argue is more interesting than the Ryan Ruth trial. This is the guy who was arrested on July 12, 2024, as he was leaving the country. He's a Pakistani guy who's alleged to have been working on behalf of the Iranian government to hire hitmen to assassinate Trump. And when the news of his arrest broke in August 2024, a lot of people automatically assumed this has to be related to Thomas Crooks. I mean, him being arrested the day before the attempt is quite the coincidence. I don't think that's the case, though, because when you look into this case, it really reminds me of the so-called Whitmer kidnapping plot. What you had here is the guy was monitored before he even entered the country. According to John Solomon, he was let in April 2024 as part of like this kind of Fast and Furious like program where they're just tracking potential terrorists, letting them into the country on purpose to see where they're going to go and who they network with. He's talking to an FBI informant who puts him into touch with two undercover FBI agents who are posing as hitmen. And supposedly he tries to hire them for only $5,000 to take out Trump. So the whole case seems really ridiculous. And I'll be very interested to see how this trial develops. Like I said, jury selection starts February 23rd, so just in about 2.5 weeks. I think the significance of this case is clearly it's a sting operation where they're trying to build this, you know, politically charged case about the Iranians trying to take out Trump. But while in 2024 they're following this guy and putting him in touch with undercover FBI agents, they're totally dropping the ball on Thomas Crooks and Ryan Ruth. So even if there isn't some sort of larger conspiracy here, it just shows how totally incompetent the government is, where they're manufacturing these terrorist cases on the one hand while letting the legitimate ones slip through their fingers.
Yeah. No, this is a big one. And we're going to keep our eye on it, of course, because that's going to be an important trial to follow. And, you know, I was just on X and I noticed that somebody was saying, you know, how come I haven't heard about the trial of Ryan Ruth? And I was like, I just tagged you in it, Ken, because I think you're the only reporter who covers these things. Sadly, some people don't do the deep dives, but you do. And we're thankful for that. And it's not just us who are thankful for that also. Apparently Mike Benz is as well. And Mike Benz was just on Joe Rogan this week. And you got a little bit of a shout out from our good buddy, Mike Benz. So let's listen in to clip 17, what Mike Benz had to say about your work.
The FBI internal memo describes how this confidential human source reported that Alan Dershowitz was a Mossad agent, and after every meeting, he goes back and tells his FBI, his Mossad handlers, you know, what they talked about. And you go, oh, my God, it's an FBI confidential human source. The FBI wouldn't, you know, pay an informant unless they found them credible for this sort of thing. On the very next page of the files, it says President Trump, I'm paraphrasing. You can pull this up if you want. You know, President Trump is controlled by the government of Israel, and they have, I forget if he says they have blackmail or something to this effect. Now, I don't know whether either of those things are true or not. I don't know what, you know, any more than anybody else who's done research on this. Certainly there's a lot of overlap between Dershowitz and the Israeli government and high level Israeli officials. So in that sense, if that were to be reported, I don't know that it would be the, who knows about whether that's true or not. It's, but it plays into a kind of confirmation bias that a lot of people have. And so when you see that in an FBI file, the first thing your instinct is, if you're, you know, if that's your journalism beat, is to write all about it and get millions of views. And same thing, there's a MAGA civil war right now that's happening over issues around Israel. It's, you know, you say, oh my God, it's been proven. The FBI knows that, well, Ken Silva, who's a journalist, shortly after that published a tweet containing a file that had much less engagement, where he said, actually, I actually have a copy of this document. Again, I'm paraphrasing here, where it matches that document file number. It's got the same text, and it looks like that confidential human source is Chuck Johnson. Now, I saw that, and I went, oh, my God. Because one morning, I woke up to a text from that very person saying, this is about 2 years ago, I never met him, never talked to him, don't have his number. Somehow he got mine and messaged me on Signal to turn myself in because I'm going to prison. He then proceeded to look up my ex-wife and make allegations that I was a Mossad agent because she was a prostitute from a foreign country and involved in all these, you know, Mossad black ops type things. Now, he didn't even get the name right. He found a different person with a similar spelling that, was, I guess, busted for prostitution or something, and then makes these giant claims on social media that, I had been like married to a foreign spy prostitute or something. And then he goes on to message someone he thinks is my donor and threaten them to cut off funds because if he doesn't, then I've made the intelligence community very angry and they have deputized him to tell the person he thought was my donor that the intelligence services of the United States of America will crush the businesses of someone he thought was my donor if he doesn't cut off the funds he thought that person was giving to me. Okay? This is that confidential human source.
All right. So I just want to be clear. These are accusations that are being made. But, you know, Ken, you've done some digging into all of this, and you believe you've ID'd who the person is behind this. Walk us through how you got there and then why this is so important to discuss.
Yeah, sure. So I appreciate the shout out from Mike Benz, but oh man, this is kind of a big can of worms. I don't know if you're familiar with Chuck Johnson. He's kind of like a long-time provocateur in the right wing movement. And you know, I actually think he's a pretty interesting guy. Mm-hmm. I've read his Substack for quite a while, but he is hit or miss. So he's the guy who revealed that Peter Thiel was an FBI informant during the Biden administration. And we know this for sure. Chuck Johnson, the FBI informant, actually recruited Thiel to work for Chuck's handler, FBI agent named Jonathan Bouma. So, you know, on the something major like that, he's very credible. He also predicted that Tim Walz was going to be Kamala's running mate. And I think he did have inside information on that. But on other things, you know, I just don't know. I mean, he claims that Jeffrey Epstein had been working for the Israelis up until maybe like 2012 or 13. And then the CIA flipped him and Epstein was actually kind of like a good guy working against the Israelis. So he's got some wild stories. But you know, I've been talking to him and he provided me an FBI report. This must have been almost like 18, 24 months ago that where he's talking about Trump being compromised by the Israelis and how Alan Dershowitz is a Mossad asset. And I didn't really do anything with the report at the time. I know those rumors were pretty prevalent. I just kind of kept it in my pocket. And then when I saw the Epstein files get released on Friday with a very similar report, it's not the same report, but when I was reading it, I'm like, oh, this has got to be Chuck. And if you look at the serial number on the Epstein files report and I compared it to the one that Chuck gave me, it's the exact same serial number, the same handler, Jonathan Bouma, same field office, Los Angeles. So it's definitely Chuck Johnson that generated that allegation that Trump is like compromised and it's Jared Kushner running the White House. And yeah, I guess, you know, listeners and viewers are going to have to decide whether that's credible. I mean, obviously Trump's very pro-Israel, but it kind of just set off a kind of a shit show, to be frank.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine. No, I thought it was really interesting. And I think it's awesome that Mike's giving you a shout out for your work. So, I appreciate it. Again, folks, we're keeping our eye to see when, Ryan Ruth is going to be sentenced. Right now, so far, nothing, but there is a live camera outside the courtroom. And so we'll bring it to you when he is sentenced. Ken, you're doing incredible work over at Headline USA. Again, folks, check it out. If you want to see the exclusive stories, the videos, the footage he has just released, that is where you do so. Support great independent journalists like Ken also. And give him a follow on X at JD_cashless. That is where you can find him at. Ken, thank you for all the incredible work you do every day. We appreciate it, of course. You're one of the very few who are digging into all of this, so we appreciate you for doing that.
My pleasure. Thanks again.
Thank you, as always. All right, folks, we've got our eye on what's happening right now outside the courtroom. Like I told you, also worth noting that President Trump on Truth Social posted, said that he just got off the phone with the leader of China, CCP, of course, Xi Jinping. They had a discussion about trade and whatnot, so we're keeping our eye on all things related to that. They also talked military as well and potentially a visit. So we will keep our eye on that as it develops. In the meantime, though, folks, that does it for us today. On the American Journal, working on a big show for you guys tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. In the meantime, though, we did just launch, we're very excited about that, the ultimate, optimal human hydration. It's the electrolyte drink mix with French sea salt. This is going to be an incredible way to start your day. We have the strawberry lemonade and lime, the lemon lime flavor. Just get it right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. This is definitely something you're going to want to add to your daily routine. I keep talking about it, but I drink my electrolytes every single morning. It's the best way to get a natural boost to your energy, of course. And that's one of the top priorities. So head on over right now to theoxygenstore.com. When you subscribe, you save. And they also throw in a free water bottle, too, for you when you do just that. So head on over right now to theoxygenstore.com. We just launched this a couple of hours ago. So be one of the first to grab yourself some new electrolytes over at the shop, theoxygenstore.com. All right, that does it for me. The Alex Jones Show starts next. Don't go anywhere.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at thealexjonesstore.com. And they've had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives. That's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high-quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it, so people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly, four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in. In just the last few days, our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it, these sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $47 bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. It's a nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back. in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones' Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest fitting knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. Yes, those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.